I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, biggest news day of the year, and we are only a couple of days in. Yesterday was probably the most consequential day for Trump foreign policy in the history of his administration. It's not close, actually. I won't say probably. It is clearly the most consequential day for Trump's foreign policy in the history of his administration. President Trump made the decision to go ahead with an attack at the Baghdad airport on General Qasem Soleimani, who is the leading terrorist probably on planet Earth, certainly inside Iran. He also happened to be the leader of the Iranian military. He was the head of Iran's elite Quds Force, which was sort of the terrorist wing of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. He was widely considered the number two in Iran after Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. He was responsible for the deaths of hundreds of Americans in Iraq. He was really leading the Iranian terror against American troops during the Iraq War. He was responsible for, by State Department estimates, 17% of all Americans killed in Iraq. He was responsible for the arming of Hezbollah in Lebanon with tens of thousands of rockets, which is a situation that will cascade into war sometime in the next 3 to 4 years. That is all his work. He is responsible for the war in Yemen. He has armed the Houthis in Yemen and led to their rebellion against a Saudi-sponsored regime in Yemen. He's responsible for the building of Islamic Jihad in the Gaza Strip, which is the terror group that is responsible for firing rockets. He's responsible probably for the Bashar al-Assad regime still running Syria. It was Iranian coordination with the Bashar al-Assad regime that allowed the Assad regime to stand. He's responsible for the attacks on the American embassy that happened over the last week. He's been responsible for terror attacks abroad, like a bevy of them. This was one of the worst people on planet Earth. He was a vicious terrorist who was extremely effective at what he did. Commentators have been describing him as something in Iran. The situation at the top of the Iranian government is somewhat top heavy, meaning that there are a few very key players who hold a wide portfolio. Soleimani was maybe the most indispensable man in Iran. People have been comparing his death to, like, let's say that there were a coordinated strike against the United States in which the defense secretary, head of the CIA, and head of the FBI were killed simultaneously, and maybe the VP, because Soleimani was widely considered a possible heir apparent to Ali Khamenei should Khamenei have died or something. And now he is in 1,000 pieces. According to the Associated Press, the United States killed Iran's top general and the architect of Tehran's proxy wars in the Middle East in an airstrike at Baghdad's international airport early on Friday, an attack that threatens to dramatically ratchet up tensions in the region. Now, there are three different responses that we've been seeing to Soleimani's death. Response number one is just bat bleep lunacy. Okay, response number one is that we are sad he's dead, that the United States did something wrong in killing Khamenei. I mean, in killing Soleimani, rather. That's absolute insanity. This is one of the worst people on the planet. The world is much better off with him not breathing the same air as the rest of us. This is a person who richly deserved to die. He'd been in American crosshairs at least a couple of times back in 2007. He was in America's crosshairs. He was also in America's crosshairs back in, I believe, 2014, or he was in Israeli crosshairs back in 2014, 2015, and the Obama administration basically told the Israelis not to kill him. So he has been under the gun several times. He's not been taken out, obviously, until yesterday. At that point, he was taken out. Did he deserve to die? You bet your ass he deserved to die. Just for the killing of American soldiers, he deserved to die. For the spread of Iran's terrorism around the world. So response number one, which you're seeing from people like Rose McGowan, the actress, is just insanity. The idea that the United States did something morally wrong in taking out one of the leading terrorists on planet Earth, probably the leading terrorist on planet Earth. Rose McGowan who is a crazy person, tweeted out, "Dear Iran, the USA has disrespected your country, your flag, your people. 52% of us humbly apologize. We want peace with your nation. We are being held hostage by a terrorist regime. We do not know how to escape. Please do not kill us. Hashtag Soleimani." That tweet beggars description. Like, there are no words for how evil and vile and traitorous that tweet is. I mean, that is just, it may be the worst tweet ever written. First of all, the Iranian people are not in line with Soleimani or with the Ayatollahs. If they had their way, this regime would not be in power. Second of all, the idea that we are being held in thrall to a terrorist regime and you're apologizing for the death of a terrorist, I mean, we don't have to take Rose McGowan that seriously, but there is that sort of roiling undercurrent in the commentary today that somehow Trump did something wrong in killing Soleimani. So that's narrative number one. Narrative number two is that this amounts to some sort of assassination, that it's an assassination of a foreign official in violation of American law. That's a lie. Okay, it is not a violation of American law. There are only two laws that would theoretically be implicated here. One is whether the United States was authorized to take action, whether Congress had authorized that action. Well, under the authorization for use of military force, the United States has the president of the United States has authority to act inside Iraq. Not only that, the Iraqi government has invited the United States into Iraq. Soleimani was not killed inside Iran. He was killed in Iraq. He was a foreign terrorist in Iraq, and the United States had every ability and, on a moral level, every moral obligation to kill Soleimani. As far as the idea that this was some sort of assassination in violation of the Reagan-era executive order against assassinations, again, this man was a terrorist. He was not just an Iranian official. He was a terrorist, and he was in a foreign country, so that makes a difference. So this notion that this was some sort of assassination is nonsense. And then there's the narrative that this is an escalation. In order for you to believe that this was a tremendous escalation or that Trump is responsible for the escalation, you have to believe that nothing has been happening over the last couple of years, which is just a lie. We've covered it on the show over and over. The Iranians have been attacking shipping in the Straits of Hormuz, including internationally flagged ships. Over and over, the Iranians have been pursuing terrorism against American interests and American allies. They've been firing rockets on Americans in Iraq. The Iranians have been responsible for the downing of the American drone. And then over the weekend, obviously, they attacked an American embassy because that was done with Soleimani's go-ahead. And that's what the Defense Department suggested today. The Defense Department put out a statement explaining exactly why they had just done what they did. The Pentagon said, quote, "At the direction of the president, the U.S. military has taken decisive defensive action to protect U.S. personnel abroad by killing Qasem Soleimani, the head of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, Quds Force, a U.S.-designated foreign terrorist organization. General Soleimani was actively developing plans to attack American diplomats and service members in Iraq and throughout the region. General Soleimani and his Quds Force were responsible for the deaths of hundreds of American and coalition service members and the wounding of thousands more. He had orchestrated attacks on coalition bases in Iraq over the last several months, including the attack on December 27th, culminating in the death and wounding of additional American and Iraqi personnel. General Soleimani also approved the attacks on the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad that took place this week. This strike was aimed at deterring future Iranian attack plans. The United States will continue to take all necessary action to protect our people and our interests wherever they are around the world." This is a ballsy move by Trump. It's a ballsy move by Trump. The reason it's a ballsy move by Trump is because it throws the Iranian regime into chaos, which means that there will be short-term lashing out. Everybody knows it. Okay, this is going to happen. The Iranian regime, in order to save face, are obviously going to attempt some sort of terror attack. In all likelihood, that will come against Saudi targets. You might see them try terror attacks inside the United States. You might see them try terror attacks in South America, where they've tried terror attacks before, massive terror attacks, actually. You might see them activate Hezbollah in Lebanon to fire on Israel. Things could get fairly hot fairly quickly, particularly for American allies. As far as the sort of projection of widespread attack on Americans, one thing is now clear, that the death of Soleimani shows that if things get too hot, Ali Khamenei will not be connected with his head in very short order. Okay, the fact is that what Trump was doing yesterday was a restorance of American deterrence that had been lost during the Obama administration, and yes, in the early years of the Trump administration. The fact is that the Obama administration tried a strategy of outright bribery of the world's worst terror regime. They lied to the American people in the process. The Iran nuclear deal was a disaster for the United States. It was a disaster for the world. It was an attempt to pay off a terror regime, a radical Islamic terror regime, hell-bent on regional domination, and indeed on world terrorism. And the Obama administration lied to you, and they lied to me, and they lied to the American people. Ben Rhodes leading the way, the national security aide. He was going out there and lying and saying that there was this tiny window in which the moderates could take control of Iran if only we paid them billions of dollars hundreds of billions of dollars and allowed hundreds of billions of dollars to flow into the Iranian economy and made them part of the family of nations, then all would be well. That did not happen. The Iranians took that money. They immediately started developing their ballistic missile program. They immediately started pushing terrorism around the region. John Kerry, the Secretary of State under Obama, admitted as much. And the Trump administration came in and they said, okay, we're not going to sponsor this stuff. We are not going to allow dollars to flow into a terror regime. And Iran, with its economy sagging, decided to lash out and increasingly lash out. Now, if you're on the left, you say, well, the lashing out is Trump's fault. Hey, Iran, anytime it wants, anytime Iran wants, Iran can be part of the family of nations. Anytime Iran wants, it can be integrated into the world economy. Anytime Iran wants, Iran can be a well-respected member of the world community. All they have to do is stop being terrorist radical Islamists. That's it. That's all they have to do. But they're not going to do that because they are running a repressive, oppressive terror regime in Tehran. And the fact that the Trump administration acknowledged that reality and the Obama administration sought to back massage the mullahs was the initiating event that led to all of this. So Trump said, he came off, he said, this deal is no good. He tore it up. And then the Iranians started lashing out. And then after lashing out and lashing out and lashing out for years, after lashing out for literally years, and the Trump administration taking very light action, right? They restored some of the sanctions. But after an American drone was shot down, there was talk that the jets were on their way. The American military was on its way to hit targets in Iran. And Trump called that off at the last moment. That after attacks on shipping in the Straits of Hormuz, the United States was basically doing nothing. We saw repeated violations of international law by the Iranians under Obama. They actually took a boat full of Americans and held them at gunpoint. Right? After, and then they built a statue of it in Tehran. After all of that, this is the first sign that the United States is going to restore its deterrent capacity, which is if you screw with us, you're going to die. If you screw with us, the people at the top of your regime are going to be the ones who pay the price. This is a terror regime, and your terror leader just got killed. Not just your terror leader, your heir apparent, the head of your military strategy, the head of your terror strategy. That guy's dead. This was Trump's attempt to restore deterrence. Now, there are folks on the left who are suggesting that deterrence itself is a bad thing. You can't deter this regime. You have to bribe them. That's called appeasement. Okay, appeasement typically has not worked all that well. You're going to have to name the regime that was appeased into relative safety. It has yet to happen in world history that an evil regime acts evilly, gets paid for it, and then acts less evilly. That is not something that happens in the real world. So you're seeing the Democrats today saying, well, Trump just ratcheted this thing up. No, Iran ratcheted it up. Trump responded to the ratcheting by suggesting that if they ratchet this thing too far, some of them are going to die. Now, none of this has to lead to full-scale war. Everyone keeps suggesting that this is going to lead to a full-on, all-out war between the Iranian Revolutionary Guard and the U.S. military. It is not. The reason that it is not is because the Ayatollahs know better than anybody that if this thing goes to war, within 3 weeks, they will all be dead. That doesn't mean that this would be an easy war. It would not. There would be American losses. No one wants a war. No one. Let me repeat. No one wants a war. Trump, you think Trump wants a war? Trump is by nature more of an isolationist. He doesn't want a war. What he wants is deterrence. And he understands, just like Ronald Reagan understood, that deterrence can only be achieved with the credible use of force and with the credible threat of force. When you are non-credible, there is no deterrence. And thus, the Iranians have no interest in pulling back on their terrorist objectives. Reestablishing deterrence is the goal here. We'll see how it works out. But I don't think that it's going to be a one-off, right? I mean, this is going to result in the Iranians getting more militant in the short term. But the United States and under President Trump, if they stay the course, then this will simmer down. Because there's one thing the Iranians want even less than the United States, and that is a full-on war with the most powerful military force in the history of planet Earth. Being nervous about what comes next, perfectly understandable. Suggesting that this is quote-unquote Trump's fault and that what comes next is quote-unquote on Trump or that the escalation is on Trump or that this is an assassination, that something morally wrong was done, that's just a bunch of horse crap. It's a bunch of horse crap. It would be the same if you killed Osama bin Laden and people were like, well, you just escalated with al-Qaeda. I don't know. Is that a good move or not? Soleimani was one of the worst people on the planet, responsible, again, for the deaths of hundreds, if not thousands of Americans, responsible for a vast amount of turmoil and death in the Middle East. All right, so according to the Associated Press, the Defense Department said it killed Soleimani because he was actively developing plans to attack American diplomats and service members in Iraq and throughout the region. Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei warned that a harsh retaliation is waiting for the United States. Iranian state TV also carried a statement by Khamenei, also calling Soleimani the international face of resistance, and he declared 3 days of public mourning for the general's death. An advisor to Iran's President Hassan Rouhani warned President Trump of retaliation from Tehran. He said Trump, through his gamble, has dragged the U.S. into the most dangerous situation in the region. This is according to Hessam Adin Ashena. Whoever put his foot beyond the red line should be ready to face its consequences. Iranian state television called Trump's order to kill Soleimani the biggest miscalculation by the United States in the years since World War II. The people of the region will no longer allow Americans to stay. Well, let's be real about this. The people of the region are not fond of Iran. The people of the region do not like Iran. Iran has turned Lebanon, which was once a blooming place in the Middle East, into an absolute hellhole, a horror escape. They've helped turn Syria into a horror escape. They've turned Iraq into more of a horror escape. Here's video from Iraq of people in the streets cheering the death of Soleimani. So let's not pretend that this is just like the Americans and the Saudis and the Israelis and the Jordanians who are happy today. The Iraqis are happy today, too. This is people cheering in the streets, marching and cheering in the streets at the news that Soleimani is dead. You can hear it. I mean, this is a good thing. It's a very good thing. The airport strike also killed Abu Mati al-Muhandis, deputy commander of Iran-backed militias in Iraq, known as the Popular Mobilization Forces. That was the group that was directly responsible for the attacks on the U.S. embassy over the past week. Five others were also killed. President Trump had only one quick response that he sent out on Twitter immediately following the attack, and it is just a graphic of an American flag, which, of course, drove the left to distraction for some odd reason. Why that is controversial, that it is a good thing that the United States is responsible for taking down the leading terrorist on the planet, I don't know why that should be controversial. That seems like a good thing to me. Coming up, we'll get into the Democratic responses to the attack on Soleimani. Suffice it to say, they're garbage. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
When I grow up, I want to be a ballerina. They can stand on their tippy toes with fancy tutus and twirl around like magical princesses.
If your child is sick over and over again, it could be PI, a serious defect of the immune system. Early testing gives children a chance to dream.
I can't wait to grow up, because then I will leap for the stars.
Jeffrey Modell Foundation, helping children reach for their dreams. Visit info4pi.org.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So Democrats are responding to the excellent news that Qasem Soleimani, the head of the Iranian Quds Force, is dead, blown into a million pieces. They're responding with their predictable ire and outrage, and it is morally tiresome. The Democrat responses to all of this are just beyond loony. They are really, really amazing. Republicans have responded appropriately. A bunch of senators responded. You saw, for example, Senator Ben Sasse respond and suggest that this is a strong move by the Trump administration. He said, this is very simple. General Soleimani is dead because he was an evil bastard who murdered Americans. The president made the brave and right call, and Americans should be proud of our service members who got the job done. By the way, American military, do not F with the American military. Tehran is on edge. The Mullahs have already slaughtered at least 1,000 innocent Iranians. By the way, the media don't cover that. They never cover the protests that have been rolling across Iran for now about a year. And before they lash out further, they should know that the U.S. military can bring any and all of these IRGC butchers to their knees. Ben Sasse hitting the nail on the head right there. Meanwhile, the Democratic leaders are responding in the worst possible way. Of course, Nancy Pelosi tweeted out, American leaders' highest priority is to protect American lives and interests, but we cannot put the lives of American service members, diplomats, and others further at risk by engaging in provocative and disproportionate actions. So it's disproportionate to kill the leader of a terror group. Disproportionate to kill terrorists? So what exactly is the proper proportion? He's responsible for the deaths of hundreds of Americans and terror attacks all over the globe and conflict in Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, and Yemen, as well as the Gaza Strip. And this is disproportionate in some way? This is who is planning further terror attacks. This is disproportionate? The Democratic response is, I mean, you think that there are contrasts between the Democrats and the Republicans on foreign policy? When President Trump acts strongly, the contrasts are absolutely magnified. I mean, incredibly so. Ilhan Omar, of course, tweeted out the most asinine response. She's never met a terror regime she's not willing to defend. She tweeted out, what if Trump wants a war, knowing this leads to war and needs the distraction? Yes, I'm sure this is a wag-the-dog scenario where Trump is desperate for a war with Iran, because nothing spells re-election quite like a war with a major regional power. Now, I mean, as we know, nothing spells re-election quite like that. She says, real question is, will those with congressional authority step in and stop him? I know I will. Stop him from doing what exactly? Killing a terrorist on Iraqi soil where the United States has permission to be? Ilhan Omar, again, this is the same lady who says we should not have sanctions on Iran. We shouldn't have sanctions on Iran and Venezuela, according to Ilhan Omar. We should have sanctions on Israel, according to Ilhan Omar. So I'm going to go with no on her hot takes on foreign policy. Meanwhile, you have members of the Obama administration who are emerging to defend their own crap foreign policy, which is what led to the rise of Iran regionally in the first place. And here is Obama's ambassador for the Iran deal, Wendy Sherman, explaining that this could have horrific consequences. Speaking of horrific consequences, how about, you know, like the handing of $150 billion in cash on pallets to the Iranian regime so they can explore ballistic missile testing and spread terror throughout the region? Was that a one-off that may have had some bad consequences? Here's Wendy Sherman being a complete fool.
Qasem Soleimani had deputies. They know how to do what he did, even though he was this unbelievably unique counter-military strategist. But we are at a very, very escalatory moment here, which can lead us into a wider war. I hope we do not go there. I pray with all of my heart that the Trump administration has a plan and a strategy. But all I've seen to date in their Iran policy is one-off actions, and this one-off action can have unbelievably horrific consequences.
Really? So, handing the Iranians billions, and opening their economy, that doesn't have any horrific actions except for all of the horrific actions that have happened for the past several years. Killing the terror leader, that's what's going to have the horrific actions. Now, listen, in the short term, will the Iranians respond? Yes, they have to, right? I mean, they have to lash out because they have to demonstrate that the regime hasn't been crippled by Soleimani's death. And it is true that the United States, as I've already said, must have contingency strategies here. Like, what happens if the Iranians attack a U.S. base? The reason, by the way, they're not going to attack an actual hard American target is because at that point, things get real hot for the Iranians and that regime is in serious trouble, right? If they pursue a 9/11 style attack on U.S. soil, that's when bleep gets real. If they attack a U.S. base in the Middle East, the United States will bring all of its power to bear and mash whatever force is attacking them wherever that attack is occurring. Okay, but listening to people like Ben Rhodes lecture us all on American foreign policy is really sickening.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com. KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene. But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Hi, I'm Rob Burrows from the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. Come join me as the new host of brand new Battlefield Expressions show, debuting December 7th, 2019. Battlefield Expressions is a go-to program providing veterans and their families an opportunity to call in and ask questions and receive information particular to their individual needs. Veterans and their families who sacrificed and served our country. Every Saturday, 9 to 11, here at 96.5 FM, 1460 AM Talk Radio.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m. North State Now.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
I expected it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So it is fair to ask what comes next now that it's obvious that Iran has to do something in retaliation. So Ben Rhodes, who is the architect of the Iran nuclear deal and a vast liar, a huge liar to the American people, he tweeted out, Congress has to assert itself and determine exactly what our Iran policy is. Did we mean to do this? Do we have any plan for what comes next? What is the legal basis for all this? This is a guy who pursued an Iran policy without congressional approval and then did not submit it to Congress as a treaty because he knew it would not get through. It's just, it's amazing to watch the Obama administration, which botched the Iran situation worse than any administration since Jimmy Carter, running out there to proclaim that they now have the knowledge and the expertise to handle this thing. You got Ben Rhodes tweeting, does anyone think Donald Trump is equipped to handle a complex, enduring international crisis that could play out in many countries and demand expertise, rigorous process, and judicious decision-making? Oh, is that what that was? When you guys, you know, launched a war in Libya without any sort of background and then proceeded to let the entire place fall into terrorist ruin and you allowed the embassy in Benghazi to be overrun, when you allowed a bunch of American allied regimes to fall in the so-called Arab Spring, necessitating the rise of el-Sisi in Egypt in order to stop the Muslim Brotherhood from taking over one of the most populous Muslim countries on planet Earth, when you were, like, bribing the Iranians, was that what that was? Was that the judicious decision-making that we came to expect from people like Ben Rhodes? It's just absurd. I mean, again, listening to these folks is just, it's just ridiculous. They have no credibility to speak on these topics. Joe Biden, who's been wrong on every single major foreign policy decision of the last 40 years. This is a guy who militated against the bin Laden kill. I thought that was an easy call, going and killing bin Laden. Apparently not Joe Biden. Joe Biden put out a statement. He said, President Trump just tossed a stick of dynamite into a tinderbox. And he owes the American people an explanation of the strategy and plans to keep safe our troops and embassy personnel, our people and our interests. Remember, this guy, Trump owes an explanation on how to keep embassy personnel safe? You presided over Benghazi. Trump's response to Baghdad was to send in American troops, preventing any American death there, and then to kill their terror leader. Biden said, much remains unknown, but Iran will surely respond. We could be on the brink of a major conflict across the Middle East. I hope the administration has thought through the second and third order consequences of the path they have chosen. So it's all on Trump. But I fear this administration has not demonstrated at any turn the discipline or long-term vision necessary, and the stakes could not be higher. Again, as opposed to you bribing them. It is perfectly reasonable to be nervous about what comes next. It is perfectly reasonable to ask what the Trump administration's plans are. But I'm not going to hear it from Joe Biden. Joe Biden has no credibility to speak on this issue. He presided over the worst Iran policy since the initiation of the Iranian Revolution in 1979. So no, he does not get to sound off on this. You know who else doesn't really get to sound off on this? Socialist Bernie Sanders, who's going around campaigning with anti-Semitic mouthpieces and who spends his days kowtowing to terror regimes. Bernie Sanders says Trump's dangerous escalation. It was Trump who escalated. So that whole thing, you know, you seem to remember it. I know in your own mind. You seem to remember that part where, like, our embassy was on fire 2 days ago. That was all in your mind, you see. Sanders tweeted out, Trump's dangerous escalation brings us closer to another disastrous war in the Middle East that could cost countless lives and trillions more dollars. You know, how about the Americans who are dead because of the Iranians already? He said, Trump promised to end endless wars, but this action puts us on the path to another one. You know it's an endless war? Trying to bribe your way out of terror regimes taking over the region. And I talked about this yesterday with regard to Iran and our response at the American embassy. I talked about the fact that, politically speaking, it is nearly always easier to simply suggest that inaction is the best pathway because there's no cost to inaction in the near term. It is only when that manifests in terms of a vast crisis that everybody goes, oh, we should have done something about that. It was always easy for the Clinton administration to pass up the hit on bin Laden. It was always easy for the Clinton administration to cut the American military and then take a non-aggressive posture in the Middle East. And then 9/11 happens, and everybody goes, oh, we should have done something about that. It's always easy to slash America's military to the bone, as we did during the 1930s, and then Pearl Harbor happens, and we're like, oh, that was a bad idea, huh? In other words, aggressive action that is somewhat preemptive in nature, aggressive action that establishes deterrence, always bears the immediate short-term risk of retaliation. But non-action bears the risk of a completely reshaped world map that has vastly more consequences over long term than doing the things now that prevent that stuff from happening later. It's very easy for Bernie Sanders to sit there and to cry war generally. No one is in favor of war. No one wants war. But the Iranians are making more war more likely, because the stronger they get, the more aggressive they get. It wasn't just Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden, of course. You had a bunch of Democratic Congress people speaking out in idiotic fashion. Tom Udall of Colorado, he put out a statement. He said, President Trump is bringing our nation to the brink of an illegal war with Iran with no congressional approval. It is not illegal to kill a terror leader. It is not illegal. If we go to full-scale war with Iran, yes, that will need congressional approval, and it should. This is Senator Udall. Passing our bipartisan amendment to prevent unconstitutional war with Iran is urgent. Congress needs to step in immediately. To do what? Stop him from killing a terrorist? I don't remember Congress stepping in to prevent a nuclear deal that basically gave Iran a clear pathway to a nuclear weapon in 10 years. And then, of course, you have Chris Murphy, dolt from Connecticut, whose Twitter account is just a repository of stupidity. He said the justification for the assassination is to deter future Iranian attacks. Okay, first of all, it's not an assassination. An assassination implies that this person is not a terrorist and was a governmental official. He was not. He was a terrorist. He says one reason we don't generally assassinate foreign political officials is the belief that such action will get more, not less, Americans killed. First of all, it's fewer. Second of all, you are terrible at this. That should be our real, pressing, and grave worry tonight. So in other words, anytime you kill a terrorist, you have to worry that it'll get more Americans killed. I seem to remember everybody celebrating bin Laden dying. I seem to remember that. Was that just my imagination? Then you had Ed Markey of Massachusetts, senator from Massachusetts, and he tweeted out, Trump's apparent assassination of Soleimani is a massive, deliberate, and dangerous escalation of conflict with Iran. Again, it's not an escalation. It is a recognition that the conflict is already upon us. They tried to burn down the American embassy 2 days ago. The president just put the lives of every person in the region, U.S. service members and civilians, at immediate risk. The president did? It's as though the world started spinning whenever Trump does something. It's incredible. Trump has deranged these people. Ed Markey, who's an idiot, he says, we need de-escalation now. Oh, you mean paying them off? Congress is the only entity that can authorize military force. We cannot and must not get drawn into war with Iran. Again, Trump, you think Trump wants war with Iran? Deterrence is designed to avoid war. It's why it's called deterrence. What do you think you are deterring? You're deterring Iran from pursuing more aggressive action across the region. If you believe that deterrence doesn't exist, if you believe that deterrence is always a bad idea, then sure, bribery seems like a great strategy. But guess what? Bribing evil nations historically has not worked out well. It has not, because they just get more powerful and they get more aggressive over time. So yes, by all means, we should worry about what comes next. Yes, by all means, we should hope that the Trump administration has a strategy for dealing with the immediate. Yes, by all means, we should harden our targets in the Middle East. Yes, we should be on high alert. Yes, we should be aware that the Iranians are going to lash out. And yes, we should have contingency plans prepared for them lashing out. We should have a list of targets that we are going to hit. If they do X, Y, and Z, we have to keep reinforcing to the Iranians that if they continue to pursue this path, there will be consequences to that path. That is the only way to prevent war. That's the only way to prevent war. If you want a big, bold war, all you're going to need is for Iran to step across that border with Saudi Arabia 5 years from now with nuclear weapons. And then things get real hot. You want to talk about World War III? Imagine that the Trump administration left the Iranian nuclear deal in place, had allowed billions upon billions of dollars to flow into Iran, the Ayatollahs to strengthen themselves, develop ballistic missiles, create nuclear weapons, and then proceed to launch actual overt wars with Saudi Arabia, Israel, Jordan, surrounding nations. Imagine that, because that's not far off in the imagination, but now they're armed with nuclear weapons and there's nothing you can do about it. That was the Obama administration's plan, and they basically admitted as much. All right, we'll get to more of this in just 1 second. But first, there's nobody on the planet built like you, so why would you buy a generic mattress built for anyone else? Helix Sleep has built a sleep quiz. It takes 2 minutes to complete. They use the answers to match your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress. Whether you're a side sleeper or a hot sleeper, whether you like a plush or a firm bed, with Helix, there's no more guessing, no more compromising on an average mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/Shapiro. Take their 2-minute sleep quiz. They will match you to a mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. Helix Sleep was even awarded the #1 best overall mattress pick of 2019 by both GQ and Wired Magazine. Hey, I sleep on one every night. You don't need GQ and Wired Magazine to tell you how great it is. I love it. They have a 10-year warranty. You get to try your mattress out for 100 nights risk-free. Shipping is completely free. They will even pick it up for you if you don't love it, but you will. Right now, Helix is offering up to $125 off all mattress orders. Get up to $125 off at helixsleep.com/Shapiro. That's helixsleep.com/Shapiro. These mattresses are so good. I got one for my sister for her wedding. I'm telling you, Helix Sleep mattresses, they are the best. Why? Well, they're made just for you. Go get your personalized mattress at helixsleep.com/Shapiro and get up to $125 off in the process. So, Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, put out a statement. He said, I think Iranian leadership understands President Trump will take action. We made very clear that these responses would be swift and decisive. We have now demonstrated that. I hope the Iranian leadership will see that and see American resolve, and that their decision will be to de-escalate and take actions consistent with what normal nations do. In the event they do not, and they go in the other direction, I know the president and the entire U.S. government is prepared to respond appropriately. Meanwhile, the president of Iran, Hassan Rouhani, promised early Friday to take revenge for this heinous crime. He also said that Iran would raise the flag of Soleimani. In all likelihood, what you're going to see is a spate of attacks, not, as I say, directly on America, but instead on American allies in the region, trying to separate off those allies from the United States with the help of the left in the United States and isolationists on the right. So the idea would be to attack Saudi targets and then dare America to do something about it, suggesting that then it's America escalating even more, or attack Israel. And then if Israel responds, then suggest that it's that America was just doing Israel's dirty business here. By the way, that'd be the worst mistake they can make, because right now, let's say that they decide to activate Hezbollah in Lebanon, in southern Lebanon, against Israel. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is currently under indictment and is sitting at the head of a government that does not exist. And he is currently seeking immunity from indictment. Like, the worst thing they could do is try to launch a war with Israel directly, Iran, because if they do, Israel is not going to stand for it. They are not going to stand for it. So I would guess they're going to attack Saudi targets. I would guess that they try terror attacks in different places around the world. Again, I doubt very much that they're going to try something in the United States directly. It would be a foolish move. If they are acting reasonably, instead what they would do is maybe make an attack in Europe, make attacks in South America, make attacks abroad elsewhere in the region, escalate things in Yemen. That's their likeliest path. And by the way, as far as the details on General Qasem Soleimani, the terror leader, he was apparently only identifiable by a large ring that he wore on his finger because he was so badly maimed in the strike that there was not much left of him. He had arrived at the airport on a plane from either Syria or Lebanon around 12:30 a.m. when he was met on the tarmac by Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, who is the deputy commander of the pro-Iran Popular Mobilization Forces in Iraq. That was the specific umbrella terror group that was responsible for the attacks on the embassies. Muhandis pulled up to the aircraft steps in two cars before Soleimani and Mohammed Rita Jabri, public relations chief for the PMF, climbed inside and then were promptly driven away. Moments later, as the cars passed through a cargo area headed for an access road leading out of the airport, this is according to the Daily Mail, the convoy was struck by four missiles fired by an MQ-4 Reaper drone. Both vehicles were instantly reduced to smoldering wrecks, killing Soleimani, Mohandis Jabri, and two others who have yet to be identified. And he was only identified by this giant ring that he was wearing. The local militia commander Abu Muntathar al-Husseini told Reuters, Haj Soleimani and Abu Mahdis al-Muhandis were riding in one vehicle when it was struck by two successive guided missiles launched from an American helicopter while they were on their way from the arrivals hall on the road that leads out of Baghdad airport. The second group was a bunch of bodyguards who are also dead at this point. So that is the current situation. And again, we sort of await what the response will be. The fact is that President Trump is now tweeting again, and so we are getting his general take on the situation. He suggested this morning, he said, the United States has paid Iraq billions of dollars a year for many years. That is on top of all else we have done for them. The people of Iraq don't want to be dominated and controlled by Iran, but ultimately that is their choice. Over the last 15 years, Iran has gained more and more control of Iraq. The people of Iraq are not happy with that. It will never end well. He said, General Qasem Soleimani was killed or has killed or badly wounded thousands of Americans over an extended period of time and was plotting to kill many more, but got caught. He was directly and indirectly responsible for the death of millions of people, including a recent large number of protesters killed in Iran itself. While Iran will never be able to properly admit it, Soleimani was both hated and feared within the country. They're not nearly as saddened as the leaders will let the outside world believe. He should have been taken out many years ago. And then he also tweeted, Iran never won a war, but never lost a negotiation. In other words, come to the table now, or we can continue killing all of your friends. So, by the way, if you speak to members of the American military today, many of whom have buddies who are killed by Soleimani's forces in Iraq, overwhelmingly the feeling is one of joy that Soleimani is dead. This does not mean that all questions are answered, right? All questions are not answered, obviously. We don't know what's going to happen from here, and everybody is sort of bracing for what the Iranian response will be. But there is no question that a very good thing happened with Soleimani being dead, and the fact is that deterrence must be restored. If America is not seen as a power capable of deterring its enemies, then it has no power at all. The Trump derangement syndrome, by the way, is unbelievably strong out there right now. Max Boot, who was once a somewhat respected foreign policy thinker, Max Boot goes on CNN And he suggests that the Iran crisis is created by Trump. This is the same Max Boot who wrote a piece in July of 2015 called The Dawn of Iranian Empire, talking about the evils of the Iran nuclear deal and why it was a mistake to try and bribe them. And now here he is on CNN just a few years later declaring that the best solution would be to presumably to bribe the Iranians or to never retaliate against their increasing and escalating aggression.
This is a crisis that President Trump has really created between the U.S. and Iran, because although the U.S. and Iran have a long history of animosity dating back to 1979, relations had actually quieted down quite a bit since President Obama concluded the Iranian nuclear deal in 2015. And last year, even though the Iranians were complying with the Iranian nuclear deal, President Trump decided to blow up the deal, and then he imposed unilateral economic sanctions on Iran this year, which have been a lot more effective than a lot of people, including me, expected. The way the Iranians view that is the U.S. is waging economic warfare on them, and they need to strike back.
So there is Max Boot completely flipping his own position on the Iran nuclear deal, basically, because Donald Trump happens to be president. Again, if Barack Obama had done this exact same thing, and it's amazing to watch these people. Barack Obama droned American citizens overseas who are terrorists. And people on his side of the aisle were like, no problem. Everything's great. Donald Trump orders the death of an Iranian terrorist in a foreign country, and everyone's like, assassination, illegality. Absolute sheer nonsense. Now, again, consistent foreign policy must be had going forward. We must see a consistent foreign policy going forward. Deterrence only works if you continue to deter. If you warn people, if you keep crying wolf about what exactly you're going to do when somebody harms you, then eventually people are going to stop taking you soriously. But with all of that said, Soleimani's death makes the world a better place. Now we just see what happens next. Coming up, updates on the Democratic 2020 side of the aisle. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Doctors Without Borders teams confront hard facts in conflict and crisis zones. When others look away, we step in to act. Because measles still kills more than 100,000 children every year, we're there to vaccinate more than 1 million. Because some countries have only one or two mental health professionals, we provided over 400,000 mental health consultations last year. The fact is, your support makes our life-saving work possible. Picture the impact we can have together. DoctorsWithoutBorders.org.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, meanwhile, the Democrats are running for president. Their foreign policy is just as bad as their domestic policy, obviously. The 2020 Democratic race is heating up, and the Democrats are racing to say the next stupid thing. Joe Biden came out yesterday and suggested that he wants a national bag ban. And these are sort of serious times. Here's Joe Biden suggesting that it's time to ban plastic bags.
In Kenya, we are trying to clean the environment. No plastic bags. You go with your own bags.
The market. Well, I agree with you 100%. We should not be allowing plastic. And what we should do is phasing it out. And if you notice, but we're running into a problem right now. The problem is we have a president who says there is no problem.
Deeply important issues being taken on by the Biden campaign, like plastic bags. By the way, if you want to understand why the left, why the Europeans are constantly attempting to pretend that George W. Bush was the aggressor in the Middle East, or Israel is the aggressor in the Middle East, or Saudi Arabia, or Jordan, depending on the situation, Egypt. These are all the aggressors in the Middle East. The bottom line is that anybody who is perceived as either American, European, or an American or European ally in the Middle East is perceived as the bad actor. And the reason is because the West is constantly seen as the source of all malignity and evil in the world. Joe Biden is the least like this in the Democratic Party, and even he does some of this. Yesterday, there was a big controversy because Biden said something that was taken out of context. There was a clip of Biden appearing to suggest that America was built on European culture, and this was apparently extremely controversial, and people were going crazy over it, except that's not what he was saying. What he was saying was actually extraordinarily stupid and horrible. What he was saying is that European culture is uniquely anti-woman. Here is Joe Biden explaining that European culture is uniquely anti-woman.
If you're going to Penn or Harvard or Yale or Brown or whatever, and you have to publish how many times someone's been abused, it's like, whoa, I'm not sending my kid there. I'm serious. Think of the fight back. But we finally got a lot passed through with the Secretary of Education, who was a great guy that I work with and others, under Title IX. And then came Betsy DeVos. No, I'm serious. And ended it. Ended it. Folks, this is about changing the culture. Our culture. It's not imported from some African nation or some Asian nation. It's our English jurisprudential culture, our European culture. It says it's all right.
Yeah, the same blame America first, blame Europe first mentality that leads to the bizarre notion that violence against women is a unique Western invention, which, by the way, look at the world. Like, it's a globe. There are lots of countries on that globe. If you're a woman, where would you prefer to be born on that globe? The answer, European countries, countries with European influence, America, Australia, Canada, Western countries, in other words. Okay, you would not prefer to be born in sub-Saharan Africa, in most parts of Asia. You would not prefer to be born in the Middle East. Right? There are lots of places on planet Earth you would not prefer to be born if you're a woman and want to be treated with respect. But according to Joe Biden, America's culture of violence against women is purely European in origin, and then he cites bad history to push all of this. It's that mentality, that the soft bigotry of low expectations when it comes to other countries, that leads to the idea that when America retaliates against terrorists, that it's America's fault for escalating. Again, it is very easy for Iran to make all of this go away. Just stop acting like terrorist pieces of crap. That's it. Okay, that's all you have to do. All the Iranian government has to do to be welcomed in is to stop this. This has been true forever. There was no point at which this was not true.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. Iran has vowed to retaliate after a U.S. airstrike in Iraq killed terrorist General Qassem Soleimani. Tensions between the two countries have soared, reflecting concerns about retaliation. The U.S. said that it was sending nearly 3,000 additional troops to the Middle East. Nearly 24 hours after the attack, Iraqi officials and Iranian-backed militias in Iraq reported another deadly airstrike. Oil prices shot up as a result of the airstrike. Correspondent Rita Foley reports on what higher oil prices could mean for you.
Experts worry that a vengeful Iran might disrupt worldwide supplies of energy from the Middle East. If oil prices go up, it could mean higher gas prices, higher fuel prices for airlines, too, and higher heating and electricity bills. That could throttle the global economy at a time when it's already slowing.
President Trump addressed a campaign rally of evangelicals at a church in Miami, Florida this evening. The president contrasts his administration's support for evangelical positions with what he calls the secularist agenda of the Democratic Party.
These angry radicals want to impose absolute conformity by censoring speech, tearing down crosses and symbols of faith, and banning religious believers from public life. And that's what they want to do.
70 Christian leaders were on hand this evening. A man armed with a knife rampaged through a Paris park, attacking passersby seemingly at random, killing one, injuring two others before police shot him dead.
The man's motives weren't immediately clear. A witness said he saw the attacker stab one man and that he appeared to select victims at random. Officials said one victim died and two others were injured in the afternoon attack in Villejuif in the southern suburbs of Paris. Police union official Yves Lefebvre said officers opened fire repeatedly because they feared the man was wearing an explosive belt and might blow himself up.
That's correspondent Zira Shackley. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Don't let your home be invaded this season with rats and mice. Keep them away the most humane way with Plug-In Pest Free, 100% chemical-free, totally safe for your family and pets, and environmentally friendly. G'day, I'm Scott from Plug-In Pest Free, the electromagnetic pest control device that has been scientifically tested and consumer-proven since 1995. Now that's fair dinkum. With a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 2-year manufacturer's warranty, what have you got to lose? Stop inviting unwanted rodents and pests in with baits. Say goodbye to traps and start saving money today with Plug-In Pest Free. Order yours now at gopestfree.com and save 20% with promo code SAVE20. That's gopestfree.com, promo code SAVE20. Are you ready to start saving money? Gopestfree.com. Promo code SAVE20. Don't spray and regret. Plug in and forget.
American Airlines vows to share Boeing proceeds with workers.
The Fort Worth-based carrier is talking to Boeing about compensation for grounded planes and says they'll share some of the proceeds with airline employees. American had 24 Boeing 737 MAX jets when the planes were grounded in March after two deadly crashes, and the airline had to cancel thousands of flights due to the missing planes. Boeing's also negotiating with other airlines over compensation and has estimated the cost at $5.6 billion.
That's correspondent Rhonda Rockstra. A man stabbed two people, one fatally, inside a restaurant during a violent string of attacks Friday at a shopping plaza in Texas' capital city that began with an assault at a coffee shop and ended with the suspect leaping off a roof. The attacks on a busy downtown avenue of restaurants and apartments just south of the Texas Capitol terrified customers stopping for their morning coffee on the way to work. News and analysis at townhall.com. The campaign of Democratic presidential hopeful Marianne Williamson appears all but finished.
Marianne Williamson's long-shot bid for the Democratic presidential nomination looks to be on life support. Two former staffers say Williamson has laid off her entire 2020 campaign staff. And writing on Instagram Thursday, Williamson said she's giving up on the first contest of the 2020 campaign. Williamson wrote, "There's no way her campaign can compete in Iowa, which hosts the first-in-the-nation caucuses February 3rd. Instead, Williamson wrote, "We're on our way to New Hampshire for the month, targeting the Granite State's primary on February 11th. I'm Mike Grossia.
Congress opened up the new year with the Senate deadlocked over President Donald Trump's impeachment trial. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell indicating he has
little interest in hearing from witnesses as Democrats are demanding, and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has yet to send to the Senate the two articles of impeachment. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. Also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m. North State Now.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. I've got a lot to get to this hour. A little bit later on in the hour, we'll be talking with a Navy SEAL about the killing of Qasem Soleimani, who is the head of the Quds Force, the second most powerful person in Iran, and the most powerful terrorist in the Middle East. We'll also be getting to your questions in the mailbag. Plus, Curtis Sliwa will be joining us shortly from WABC in New York to talk about the Guardian Angels and what they're doing to help protect Jews walking around the streets of New York. But we begin this hour with your update on the Democratic presidential race. There's not a lot of new polling in this presidential race. If you take a look at the latest polling from Real Clear Politics, Joe Biden is up about 10 on average. The national polls continue to cut very much in his favor. We don't have any recent polls with regard to Iowa or New Hampshire. All of those polls are several weeks old. The Economist YouGov poll that came out very end of the year has Joe Biden leading Bernie Sanders 29-19, Elizabeth Warren at 18, and Pete Buttigieg all the way back at 8. Buttigieg has no national traction. He continues to have traction in Iowa and New Hampshire. To a certain extent, he did raise some $25 million, which is a solid showing. He actually raised more money than Elizabeth Warren did over Q4. Biden is still favored in the betting odds to win the nomination, although the person who's been gaining most recently is Bernie Sanders. And again, part of that is the amount of money that Bernie Sanders just raised. According to CNBC, Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign shrugged off a health scare and took in more than $34.5 million in the fourth quarter, a massive haul in the final stretch before nominating contest start. The independent senator from Vermont and 2020 Democratic hopeful raised more than $18 million in December, his best month of the election cycle, according to his campaign. The average donation size was $18. Pete Buttigieg took in $24.7 million. Andrew Yang took in about $16.5 million. Elizabeth Warren trailed. She had about $21.2 million in quarter four, which is not a good showing for her. It was actually lower than her Q3 showing, which was about $25 million. Last week, her campaign signaled her lagging fundraising effort for the quarter, which echoed her slip in the polls over the same period. It turned out that it was impossible for her to match the quarter, but her campaign said that the announcement did help to spur a solid end-of-quarter run for her. Still, this was not a good number for her. Vice President Joe Biden raised $22.7 million, so just slightly less than Pete Buttigieg, but slightly more than Elizabeth Warren. He's not in awful shape. People are saying that he lacks money. But the fact is that Biden has 100% name recognition and is leading Bernie Sanders in the national polling. So Sanders needs the money in a way that Biden doesn't necessarily need the money. With that said, Bernie Sanders is now launching serious attacks on Joe Biden, suggesting that he is the person best positioned to lead the Democratic Party into 2020, which by polling data is not true. By polling data, Biden is the most competitive with Trump in places like Florida and Ohio and Virginia and Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan. Bernie Sanders trails Trump in virtually all of those states. In her interview with the Washington Post, Sanders really bashed Biden. He said, "It's just a lot of baggage that Joe takes into a campaign, which isn't going to create energy and excitement." As opposed to, you know, outright embrace of communism, which definitely creates energy and excitement with the Red Guard. He said, "He brings into this campaign a record which is so weak, it just cannot create the kind of excitement and energy that is going to be needed to defeat Donald Trump." So in other words, he is making the case to the Democrats that you need to get the base out in order to defeat Trump. But that ain't the case. The base did show up for Hillary Clinton. It was the people on the fringes who didn't. is the people who are sort of wishy-washy on Hillary who didn't show in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. And Bernie is trailing in those states where Biden is not. Nonetheless, Sanders is launching a series of attacks on Biden. He said, it doesn't take much imagination to understand that Trump will be saying, you see this guy? He voted for NAFTA. Well, it's true that Sanders can out anti-trade Trump, right? He hates trade even more than Trump does. And he said, people are tired of the traditional types of campaigns in which candidates like Joe are running to wealthy people's homes and raising large sums of money. So he's going to continue to attack Joe Biden as an elitist. That's an attack that really does not stick too much to Joe Biden. With that said, this is, at this point, turning into a Sanders-Biden race. Really, all the other players have faded away, so this race is what it was at the very beginning. We've come all the way full circle, because when this race first started, it was Bernie Sanders versus Joe Biden. Then Warren came along, sort of stole some of Sanders' thunder. Then she faded away, because she's terrible. Pete Buttigieg started to steal a little bit of Joe Biden's thunder, but didn't really dent Biden's poll numbers generally. Now he has started to fade just a little bit. So this is turning back into a two-person race between two extraordinarily old, out-of-touch politicians. So you get Bernie Sanders out there saying that he probably will not release all of his medical records now, which is always a great look for transparency.
Should we expect any further information?
I think we have released, well, it's not just a few letters. I mean, as I understand it, we released two letters from cardiologists who are quite well-known and one letter from a Capitol physician. So I think we have done everything, maybe plus what other candidates are. I think probably not.
It's pretty impressive. By the way, the Democrats are so out of touch. So out of touch. Elizabeth Warren was attacked by the left today. Why was she attacked by the left? Because her original statement on Qasem Soleimani suggested that he was a terrorist who deserved to die. Here's her original statement, Elizabeth Warren. She tweeted out, Soleimani was a murderer responsible for the deaths of thousands, including hundreds of Americans. But this reckless move escalates the situation with Iran and increases the likelihood of more deaths and new Middle East conflicts. Our priority must be to avoid another costly war. She got bashed. She got bashed by her own people. According to Jonathan Martin at the New York Times, after Warren gets attacked by the left for noting Soleimani was a murderer and supporting increased Department of Defense spending, she comes back with a new statement calling the killing an assassination and only criticizing Trump's policy. So she had to revise even that wishy-washy, lukewarm statement. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. That's how far left the base is on Twitter. Bernie Sanders is far more in touch with that base than Elizabeth Warren. Here's the thing about Warren. She's playing it socialist. And Elizabeth Warren knows enough to know that what she's saying is complete nonsense. She knows enough to know that her Medicare for All plans were never going to be a reality. She knows it. She gets it. She was just lying about it. And so she was always awkward in her advocacy for that position in a way that Bernie Sanders never was. Right? Bernie Sanders was never awkward about this stuff because he is a full-out nudist when it comes to his politics. He just walks around completely unguarded and lets it all hang free. I know, not a pretty picture. Elizabeth Warren, by contrast, she was sort of mimicking the Bernie talk, but she never really got it and she never really liked it, and so it came out real weird. Well, the same thing is happening now on foreign policy. Right? Elizabeth Warren makes the point that Soleimani's a terrorist and everybody goes nuts, so she's like, well, I guess I won't do that anymore. Bernie Sanders, by contrast, he's just like, Soleimani was a great dude. Right? Bernie Sanders tweets out, Trump's dangerous escalation brings us closer to another disastrous war in the Middle East that could cost countless lives and trillions more dollars. Trump promised to end endless wars, but this action puts us on the path to another one. So there it is. No mention of who Soleimani was, why it's good that he's dead, none of that. Just Trump is the bad guy here. So there is a contrast in the Democratic Party. You will get your contrast between a moderate and a radical. The contrast is coming. And here is Joe Biden's statement on Iran. And there is a contrast here. I mean, Biden's statement is not good, but it's better than that bullcrap. So here is Joe Biden. Right, here it is. President Trump just tossed a stick of dynamite into a tinderbox, and he owes the American people an explanation of the strategy and plan to keep safe our troops and embassy personnel, our people, and our interests. He did acknowledge, by the way, that Soleimani was a bad guy. And much remains unknown, but Iran will surely respond. We could be on the brink of a major conflict across the Middle East. I hope the administration has thought through the second and third order consequences of the path they have chosen. But at the opening of his statement, he did note that the Soleimani killing, you know, that the guy deserved to die. Right? That at least he gets. Bernie Sanders is like, we could have been friends. If I went over there and I had a cheese plate with Soleimani, probably we could have worked everything out. There is a contrast in the Democratic Party. Now, the contrast isn't strong enough. The fact is that when it comes to foreign policy, this is where the contrast between Republicans and Democrats historically has been strongest. When Republicans are not hawkish on foreign policy, they tend to lose elections. When they are dovish on foreign policy, they tend to lose elections. And the fact is that Donald Trump is much more hawkish on foreign policy, at least in his actual activity, than is a Bernie Sanders or an Elizabeth Warren or a Joe Biden. But even inside the Democratic Party, I don't know how Bernie Sanders thinks that he wins the presidency on the back of we ought to be nicer to Iran and Venezuela. It worked for Barack Obama. That's because Barack Obama was a unique once-in-a-generation figure. Bernie Sanders is not. He's just an old 1930s curmudgeonly socialist. I don't think that works for him. I really don't. Meanwhile, Joe Biden is stumbling around talking about banning plastic bags. Like, seriously, that's a thing that he's doing now.
In Kenya, we are trying to clean the environment, not plastic bags. You go with your own bags
to the market. Well, I agree with you 100%. We should not be allowing plastic. And what we should do is phasing it out. And if you notice, but we're running into a problem right now. The problem is we have a president who says there is no problem.
Well, I think that the biggest problem with the president is not that he doesn't oppose plastic bags strongly enough. Like if that's the case, it's Joe Biden is going around. He's making the worst case for his own presidency. He's suggesting the middle class is hurting under Trump, which is not true. He's suggesting that he has a foreign policy record, which is not true. The problem for Democrats is their candidates kind of suck. This is the big problem for Democrats. And so, again, they're going to be left with this choice, and that is an unpleasant choice. It is a very unpleasant choice for Democrats between Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders, a couple of old white dudes, not a lot of excitement outside of sort of the Bernie base for any of this. Warren falling away is a pretty stunning development. If you had asked 2 months ago who was the likely nominee, it was Elizabeth Warren. Not anymore. Meanwhile, Julian Castro is out of the race, as we mentioned yesterday. And I love the media lamenting him. Liz Mayer is a Republican strategist. She has a piece today called Julian Castro is worth more out of the presidential race than he was in it. She says Julian Castro is the latest Democrat to drop out of the 2020 presidential race. He will probably receive more press coverage today and tomorrow than he has on any other day since he announced his candidacy. But unlike other Democrats who have thrown in the towel, Mr. Castro should continue to have a significant impact on the presidential campaign. As the race's only Latino, extremely well-versed in policy and comfortable on the stump, and the debate stage, Mr. Castro is in a unique position. If and when he endorses one of his former rivals, he will be a huge asset to the fortunate candidate. Or alternatively, no one cares about him because he's completely irrelevant and that's why he went nowhere in this presidential race. But Democrats are getting so desperate that they are now making the case that Joe Biden should run as a one-term president. Timothy Ian has a piece over at the New York Times today called The Case for a One-Term Joe. They say that the only way that we get maybe President Stacey Abrams or Pete Buttigieg is to elect Biden with one of these people as their VP. He says, you may have heard an old crank in a big house ranting about appliances and unflushable toilets the other day. Remember the dishwasher? You'd press it, boom, there'd be like an explosion, he said, apropos of nothing. Now you press it 12 times. The bathroom is another battleground. In the shower, you turn on the faucet, you don't get any water. It gets worse. People are flushing toilets 10, 15 times, as opposed to once. Of course, that was our own President Trump, who will be 74 on Election Day. I would like to be known for my great and unmatched wisdom, but had it been Joe Biden who muttered such gibberish, says Timothy Egan, it would have prompted another round of age shaming. Imagine if Biden had made up a country that doesn't exist or given a new name to his Secretary of Defense. Biden will be 77 on Election Day, would be the oldest person ever elected president. He mixes up places, people, dates, decades. He still shows signs of his struggle to overcome a childhood stutter, which is not to be confused with age. Compared with the tongue-tangled, fact-mangled, grammar-assaulting, nonsense-spewing, hate and grievance-filled current occupants of the White House, Biden is Churchill, but maybe he should only serve one term. Maybe he should only serve one term. They're getting desperate out there, folks. All right, coming up in just a moment, we'll be talking about anti-Semitism in New York City. Curtis Lee will be stopping by to discuss what the Guardian Angels are doing to protect the Jewish population of New York City, because, frankly, Bill de Blasio has not been doing enough and plans to do even less. As time goes on, Curtis Lewa, host over at WABC, will be joining us momentarily. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
There's a place for answers, a place for mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Have you ever felt so dizzy you could hardly stand up? You're not alone. Millions of people struggle with dizziness and experience the debilitating symptoms of vestibular dysfunction, such as vertigo, nausea, and ringing in their ears. Vestibular disorders affect people of all ages and can impact ability to work, go to school, or just perform everyday tasks like shopping and getting dressed. Because these symptoms are invisible and difficult to describe, they're often overlooked by doctors and dismissed by family and friends. But there is hope. Visit vestibular.org or call 800-837-8428. If you or someone you know has experienced a persistent sense of dizziness or lack of balance, visit vestibular.org to search for a vestibular specialist in your area. The Vestibular Disorders Association can help you discover a life rebalanced. Visit vestibular.org, that's vestibular.org, or call 800-837-8428.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Curtis Sliwa, founder and leader of the Guardian Angels. The Guardian Angels announced just in the last couple of weeks that they would be patrolling Jewish neighborhoods in order to protect Jewish citizens against the overt anti-Semitic acts that have been going on for literally years at this point in New York City. Curtis, thanks so much for joining the show.
Oh, my pleasure, Ben.
So why don't we talk about, first of all, for those who may not know, the origins of the Guardian Angels. You guys have been around for a very long time. So where did you guys come from?
This February will be 41 years. I started the group as a night manager in the Bronx back in 1979 when the city was just slipping into the abyss. Anarchy prevailed. We were on the brink of dissolution financially. There were no cops on the subways. And so I took it upon myself to get volunteers, and we began patrolling the subway system as the Guardian Angels and then eventually the streets. And now we're in 13 countries and 130 cities throughout the world where local people patrol as Guardian Angels to keep the peace, to physically intervene, to make citizens arrest, and to keep people out of harm's way.
So, Curtis, obviously we've seen this massive uptick in anti-Semitic attacks in New York City. The media have been ignoring it for literally years at this point. Back in 2018, the New York Times overtly acknowledged that they weren't covering this thing because it didn't fit a particular narrative. Why is it that this has been ignored in New York for so long?
Because this, as you said, does not fit the narrative of white reactionary fascist neo-Nazis flying Confederate flags or Nazi flags like we saw in Charlottesville, or even the attacks of the synagogues in Pittsburgh and San Diego. This is black anti-Semitism, and the elected officials, they choke. They choke. Cuomo, who is the governor, de Blasio, who is the mayor, will not acknowledge this. 13 anti-Semitic attacks in a week alone. Every one of the suspects and those arrested, who, by the way, didn't have to put up any cash bail. That's the new provision in the state of New York. They were cut loose to do it again. Have been black, and the black community won't address it, and the political community won't address it. We had to address it in 1991 in the middle of the pogrom when the riots took place in Crown Heights, led by Al Sharpton, leading blacks who were attacking the Lubavitchers, the Jewish Orthodox community. And we stayed from the first day of the riot, August 19th, 1991, to December 19th, 3 months round the clock, protecting the Jews who were under the under attack. The mayor at the time, Dinkins, who was the actually the mentor for Bill de Blasio, did nothing, and the cops were impotent. And that's why the Lubavitcher community and some other ultra-Orthodox communities called us in this time, because they felt the response by the mayor and the governor was just completely inept.
So, Curtis, what's been the fallout from the Guardian Angels activating in these particular areas? Have you seen any attempts on Jews that have been prevented? Have things seemed to have cooled off a bit? Where do things stand?
What I've been doing this time is I've been going up to Jews who I've known for decades, and I've been saying, don't you learn a message here? You're dependent on these politicians and on the police. You got to fight back. You've got to organize. You have to patrol your own communities. You can't wait for government or the police. Because, look, I'm a Gentile, Ben Shapiro, and I believe it's in our DNA, this anti-Semitism that has plagued us for centuries. And that's why Jews have got to be tough like they are in Israel and can't be feckless. They can't allow victimization to permeate their community. And they really have got to start organizing now and fighting back within what the law permits you to do.
So what does the law permit you to do in New York City in terms of self-defense, Curtis?
Well, you can't make citizens arrests. It's very difficult to do. You need training. So we promise that we will help some of the young Jewish men and women who are now beginning to patrol their communities into how to actually make a citizen's arrest, break up fights and disputes, to be able to follow through an arrest in the criminal justice system, as difficult as that is. But it's just the physical presence that will oftentimes alert the community that crime time is no time here. I remember my motivation to start citizen patrols was actually in that same community. I used to go to Catholic schools there. And the very first citizen patrols were the Maccabees, organized by a rabbi who came from Sao Paulo. And they used to have a code that if a Jew were attacked anywhere in the neighborhood, under any circumstance, whoever saw it would yell out the word Hopsum. And every man, whether in a butcher shop, bakery, driving a car, coming out of a house, would storm into the streets and chase those culprits down and then drag them to the local precinct. Then the attacks stopped. They stopped. But unfortunately, what happened is politicians and the police, they decided to co-opt the Jewish community. And now, look at the mess that the Jewish community has, depending on elected officials who patronize them and police who have become impotent because of the laws.
You know, Curtis, we've seen this, the revision in the bail requirements in New York City. What's been the impact on that in New York City as far as the crime rates?
90% of the people arrested, and this even kicked in before January 1st, we were told would be released without having to post cash bail if it was a nonviolent crime. It's turned out that it's not just in these cases of anti-Semitic attacks, but in all cases, men who have brutalized women, men who have stabbed other men in fights and disputes. In one situation, some of your listeners may have seen it because it went viral, a man picked up a 14-year-old girl on a number 6 train speeding up to the Bronx, kidnapped her off the train, was going to try to rape her. The group fought back, called the police. They didn't respond. They found him the next day in the neighborhood. They chased him down. The cops finally came. And guess what? This guy was released into the streets, ex-con, having been put away for violent crime, no cash bail, and he basically said, oh, I was like the hunchback of Notre Dame. I was trying to rescue her. Absolute anarchy prevails now in the streets, and even the mayor today said, you know something? We might have to go back to the drawing board. Well, if he would stop smoking that Maui Waui and Hindu Kush, which he loves to do, and sort of get back to some normalcy and not operate in a drug-induced psychosis, we might have a safe city again like we had under Giuliani and Bloomberg.
Now, Curtis Lewa, founder, leader of the Guardian Angels, really appreciate what you're doing out there, Curtis, and appreciate you stopping by.
Well, Jews out there have to know one thing. You got to fight back. You cannot fold like a cheap camera to these criminals.
Coming up, we're going to be jumping into the mailbag.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at kcnr1460.com.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM. 6 p.m., North State Now.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
The Reading Renteria Senior Nutrition Program provides socialization, transportation, and free meals to eligible Native American elders and their spouses. Our program celebrates Native elders through cultural activities, entertainment, exercise, and education. Elders can dine together here and will deliver meals to those who are unable to attend. The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program is free. Discover the services available to you or your elders at readingrancheria.com.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, it's the first Friday of a brand new year, and that means it's time to mail bag it up. So let's get to some of your questions. Marcus writes, I have a burning question for you. When it comes to politics, I like to think that I'm fairly knowledgeable. But one thing I've never understood, why does the left control the media? Or is it the media always sides with the left? What's the connection? I'm not talking conspiracy theory. It's pretty obvious the media favors the left. Always. I need to know why. Well, in order to understand why the media have evolved to favor the left, you sort of have to understand the history of the media. So for a long time, there were right-wing papers and left-wing papers, and there was a wide variety of newspapers. In fact, there is, I think it was the Chicago Tribune, used to be a right-wing newspaper back in the 1930s, and ran the headline, I believe it was at the 32 convention, at the Democratic convention in 32, Reds meet in Chicago. So there used to be more of a divide between the various newspapers. Then, in the 1940s primarily, the newspapers and the radio industry all began to consolidate. And when that happened, there was a new idea of objectivity that cropped up. And the new objectivity was almost uniquely, quote-unquote, left-wing objectivity. It was sort of the objective media. But the people who tended to staff these newspapers tended to be of the left. They came from journalism schools. They came from college-educated towns in major cities. And because they were all drawn from sort of the same ideological pool, they all tended to think in the same way. Now, the media really only skewed far to the left in the 1960s, 1970s, and that was as the American body politic began to divide pretty widely. A lot of members of the media started to skew further and further to the left. As far as sort of the evolutionary move of the media toward the left, again, that starts in like the 30s and the 40s, and it's the overwhelming behemoth-like consolidation of media that happens in the 40s, 50s, and 60s that leads to the overwhelming nature of a mainstream media left. Because the fact is that now that we've had the internet, that's been blown up, right? You have major publications, you have Fox News, you have Daily Wire, you have a bunch of different publications from the right that are able to provide a contrast. It was the faux objectivity that provided for a sort of left-wing monopoly in the media. When you have few outlets, then it doesn't take a ton of people to monopolize those outlets. When you have lots of outlets, it's a lot harder to cram down one point of view. David says, I'm a recent subscriber and a big fan of your podcast. I'm currently in a debate with a couple of friends about the morality of enacting the death penalty. Specifically, they are arguing that although the death penalty might be just, we still should not enact it because there is a chance of us making a mistake and sentencing an innocent person to death, and the death penalty is irreversible. What are your thoughts? Do you think they're right? If not, why not? Well, I think that they're not. That is the strongest argument against the death penalty, is the efficacy of the death penalty and whether it is properly applied. As long as they're not challenging the morality of the death penalty, I think they have an argument. However, there are obviously certain cases in which the bar for evidence has been met and people deserve to die. And so the question becomes, is there any case in which they believe that people should get the death penalty where the evidence is so strong? And if there is, then we just have to agree on what that standard is. And so they're actually pro-death penalty. They're not anti-death penalty. Alex says, Dear Ben, I have a serious and long-considered question regarding your Chris Matthews impression. What is it you're saying after I come in here? Is it I comb my hair with a shoe? I need to know. Everything depends on it. It is indeed I comb my hair with a shoe. It's, hey, it's good math. You have a hair. Come on in here. Roll on in here. Get out of bed in the morning. I'll rump up. Comb my hair with a shoe. Come on in here. Jabber nonsensically. That Chris Matthews impersonation has been with me for a long time. And I'm glad that he's still a relevant figure. One of the problems with impersonations is sometimes they age out. So my Obama actually got to be pretty good during the Obama years. And then he only appears every so often now. And that's kind of good for the country, but sad for my use of impersonations, because my Trump is just really second rate. Braden says, Hey Ben, there's a Law and Order SVU episode where a 13-year-old girl was sexually abused for 2 years by her stepfather and got pregnant and wants an abortion. whereas the mom, despite her husband raping her daughter, would never accept an abortion. I mainly take the stance where no abortion should ever take place since it involves a direct killing of an innocent unborn child, but in a case like this, it's hard to wrap my head around whether this 13-year-old girl should have an abortion or not, and I feel like a hypocrite for thinking she can, but at the same time, I don't think she should since the baby is innocent and unique. I don't know where I stand on these issues. What are your thoughts on this type of case, even though it's made in Hollywood? I'm definitely pro-life, but with a 13-year-old girl who was abused since age 11, that's where I start to scratch my head. Well, this is why Hollywood has picked a fringe case. What you'll notice is that Hollywood never picks a mainstream abortion case where a woman just decides that the baby is inconvenient and decides to do away with it because it'll harm her career or because she'll have to take time off from the workforce or because it's going to impede her party life. They never actually pick, or it's going to impede her economic life. They never pick many of the reasons that are far more common than an 11-year-old girl raped for 2 years who gets pregnant at age 13 by her father. They always pick the most sympathetic cases. This is what Hollywood does. They drive narrative. As far as this specific case, if this case were to materialize, so my feeling is that if the mental health of a young woman is endangered to the point where she's suicidal, for example, at bearing the child, then that brings into consideration the life of the mother scenario. However, as far as protecting the life of the unborn child, I'm not in favor of ending the life of the unborn child because something horrible was done to the girl. These are two disconnected issues. And on an emotional level, it's impossible to disconnect the issues. On a logical level, it's certainly not. That is not to disrespect the emotional consequences of something evil and horrific happening like that, obviously. But emotion is not how we should be making decisions about the priorities with regard to human life. See, Alex says, subscribe to ask you just this question. Do you think impeachment is really about trying to flip four Republican seats in the Senate in order to protect the Supreme Court and the federal courts? Democrats clearly want to tarnish Trump's image, but I think more is at play. What else explains the hasty process in the House and the demand that the Senate hold a thorough process? It seems the rush in the House and deferral of calling witnesses is meant to put a spotlight on the Republican-controlled Senate. It's also well known that Justice Ginsburg and Justice Sotomayor are nearing retirement age. Given the current balance of Supreme Court leaning right and general election polls signaling a second term for Trump, do you think Democrats are actually focused on winning the Senate to block Supreme Court nominations? Well, they certainly would love to win the Senate to block the Supreme Court nominations. The Supreme Court justices by age, by the way, Sotomayor is one of the younger ones, actually. The Supreme Court right now, I believe the oldest constituents of the Supreme Court would be Ginsburg and Breyer, if I am not mistaken. The current age of Ginsburg is 86 and Breyer is 81. Sotomayor is 65. So that just to correct the record on that one. As far as whether they are trying to put pressure on the Senate so they can win Senate seats through impeachment, I don't think that's right. I think that the House pushed forward with this thing quickly because they didn't have enough information to do it slowly. If they thought it were benefiting them politically, they would have held on to this thing in the House, played it out, really played it up instead of trying to rush through it. They won't even give it to the Senate right now. Nancy Pelosi does not even wish to convey the indictment charges to the Senate, which is why Josh Hawley, the senator from Missouri, is about to file a bill today, I believe, for the immediate dismissal of all impeachment charges since no charges have actually been brought. Now, I think the Senate races are going to be fought for the Democrats on the basis, presumably, of issues like health care, maybe the personal unpopularity of Trump. But I think that very little of it's going to have to do with impeachment. The Democrats have not been running any ads on impeachment, by the way. Trump has raised something like $46 million in the last quarter, mainly off of the impeachment debacle for the Democrats. The Democrats are not fundraising off the thing because it's dead as a doornail. It's not going anywhere. Larry says, Dear Ben, I was recently enrolled in an intro to classical music course, and the professor said, in all seriousness, that John Cage's 433 is the most important piece of the 20th century. What is your opinion on this piece? Is it deeply important? No, it's the stupidest piece of garbage that ever was. John Cage's 433, to the best of my recollection, is just nothing. It's like those paintings where nobody actually paints, just a blank canvas. John Cage's 433 is just 4 minutes and 33 seconds of silence. The most important piece of the 20th century, there are a few. The Rite of Spring would obviously have to come to Stravinsky's Rite of Spring, would probably be cited by some people. Maybe Debussy or Ravel, some of the music of Debussy or Ravel. You could make a case for Béla Bartók, maybe Concerto for Orchestra. There's some pretty important classical pieces in the 20th century. Make a case for maybe some Gershwin. But John Cage does not rank. That is not a thing. Chan says, Hey, Ben, I need a Star Wars expert to help me understand two questions I had with The Rise of Skywalker. I really enjoyed your review, but I was wondering if I could get your opinion on the new Force healing power and the Force object teleport power. What do you think? Like, if there's this healing power, why wasn't it used in previous movies? Why didn't Obi-Wan heal Qui-Gon Jinn when he was stabbed? Why didn't Luke heal his father when he was dying? just doesn't make sense to me. Well, yes. I mean, the inconsistent use of the Force and the introduction of new Force powers is pretty wild. Now, you could make the case that maybe the reason that Obi-Wan wasn't able to heal Qui-Gon Jinn as opposed to Rey healing blank, I'm not going to spoil that one, maybe that has to do with the fact that Rey is significantly more Force powerful than anyone else in the Star Wars universe, with the exception of Emperor Palpatine and Yoda, maybe. But with that said, it is weird that they were able to introduce all of these new Force powers with no real precedent in the canon. And as far as the teleport powers, I was not a big fan of those. Now, some of these have relevance in other parts of the Star Wars universe. So you see some of these Force powers used more obviously in like Star Wars Clone Wars or Star Wars Rebels in some of the comic books. But introducing them into the movie universe, which is sort of the core universe, without any sort of precedent, definitely made for weird optics. That was most obvious in Last Jedi when Leia was floating herself back in from space, for example. Colin says, Ben, I appreciated your review of Rise of Skywalker. My question is this. What is your take on the ending of the movie? Why did Rey bury both lightsabers, and what is the reason for her return to Tatooine? Also, why is her new lightsaber yellow? Well, every lightsaber, from what I understand, has its own sort of personality characteristics. So the blue lightsaber has to do with creativity. The green lightsaber has to do with calm. The yellow lightsaber, I believe, has to do with people who are sort of split a little bit. So I'm trying to remember what exactly the meaning of the yellow lightsabers are. All of them, again, have two kind of, they all have schools of thought. That's why Mace Windu has a purple lightsaber. Not to get too deep into Star Wars canon, but the fact is that each Jedi takes a crystal, and the crystal sort of reads your personality and gives you the color of the lightsaber that you are going to wield. So when it comes to the yellow lightsabers, they come from kyber crystals. And I guess that the yellow lightsaber is associated with the school of thought, that of the Sentinels, who are seeking balance in the Force between sort of the dark side of the Force and the light side of the Force. So I think that's the idea with Rey. As far as her bearing everybody else's lightsabers, the idea is that she's her own person. She is not Luke. She is not Leia. She is her own person, and she does blend some of the dark side powers with some of the light side powers. She is the unification of the Force. That the Chosen One was not, in fact, Vader. The Chosen One was, in fact, Rey, I guess, would be the idea. Colin, let's see. Well, we just did Colin. Okay. Roman says, hello, Ben Kenobi Shapiro. I slightly disagree that Poe and Finn were painted as completely incompetent. But they were definitely generic, along for the ride characters that didn't show how competent they might have been. As I'm sure you're aware, there were a bunch of fans wanting to shoehorn a romance between them. Do you think this is just a bad idea, especially since they never seem to show chemistry? May the Force be with you. P.S. Poe is like one of the side characters from Scrubs who quickly come in to land a joke and then left. But Poe is way less humorous and way more one-note and forgettable. Well, first of all, it was pretty obvious that all of the people online who are militating in favor of a Poe-Finn romance were simply doing that because they wanted this to become not SW, didn't want it to be Star Wars, but SJW Wars, that in a movie that is geared toward teens and children, right, my 3 and 5-year-old are familiar with Star Wars, that they're going to make main characters gay simply to please a particular crowd. Romance was never really at the heart of the Star Wars universe. The only main romance in the original Star Wars films is between Han and Leia. That's it, right? There's no other romance. Luke has no romance. There's no other romance for any of the side characters. So the attempt to shoehorn in a gay romance into a film that is directed at children would have been, first of all, a giant marketing fail. Second of all, if we're going to make it that the only consequential male characters in the Star Wars new universe are also gay, that's going to be sort of an interesting push when you're trying to get kids to view the movies. I won't take my kids to see movies in which they are being hit with propaganda about sexual orientation. That's just not something I'm interested in showing a 5-year-old or a 3-year-old. Or frankly, a 10-year-old. Okay, well, we will get to more talk about the Iranian situation momentarily. First, 2020 is going to be a crazy news-filled year with the upcoming election and the impeachment attempts and Democratic cage matches and now things heating up in the Middle East. We know you need to know everything that's going on. The best way to stay informed on all things 2020 is to become a Daily Wire member and get comprehensive news and opinion from us on demand. So, we are giving you 20% off all memberships through Monday, January 6th. Yes, that is 20% off all memberships when you use promo code DW2020, which is a solid deal. Here's why this is the best deal in town and the best place for all things 2020 related. Members get our articles ad-free, access to all of our live broadcasts and show library, the full 3 hours of The Ben Shapiro Show, select bonus content, access to the mailbag, and more. Plus, our new all-access tier gets you into live online Q&A discussions with me, Andrew Klavan, Matt Walsh, Michael Moles, plus our site's writers and special guests. We have all sorts of great stuff coming up. Let us answer all your questions. Again, 20% off in the new year. Promo code DW2020 for 20% off until Monday, January 6th. This really is a no-brainer. Get the goods, save some money, enjoy the benefits of an Epic Daily Wire membership. Join today. Stay informed on all things 2020 related. Alrighty, coming up, we are going to be talking Iran with a Navy SEAL. We'll talk about the fallout from the killing of Qasem Soleimani, the leading terrorist in the region and the number two in Iran overall. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt?
I owe the IRS $37,000.
Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs that may protect you from IRS collection agencies. They have the power to garnish your wages, put liens on your property, and levy your bank account. Civic Tax Relief can help protect you from the IRS.
Civic Tax Relief basically represented me against the IRS, and by the time everything was completed, I didn't owe the IRS anything.
Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
I would recommend anyone who has a tax problem to contact Civic Tax Relief.
Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. Don't wait. Call now. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is former Navy SEAL Jack Carr. He led special operations teams as a team leader, platoon commander, troop commander, task unit commander, operations officer, and executive officer. He was a platoon commander practicing counterinsurgency in the southern Philippines and became a commander of special operations task unit in the most Iranian-influenced section of southern Iraq. He has written a couple of political thrillers. His latest political thriller is Savage Son, which comes out in April 2020. Jack, thanks so much for joining the Ben Shapiro Show.
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
So let's get your immediate take on the killing of Qasem Soleimani. Obviously, you served in a section of Iraq that was heavily influenced by Iranian intervention. Who is Qasem Soleimani? Why does this matter?
Right. So it was very personal when I saw that last night, and just because he was responsible for facilitating the deaths of people that I knew. They were friends. So when I saw that, it was more of a feeling of relief that this guy has finally been taken off the chessboard. Should have happened a long time ago, but at least now it's done. He was an enemy combatant, bottom line, and he'd been at war with the U.S., Iraq, Israel since at least 1979 and controlled proxy forces with international reach and was really a clear and present danger to U.S. diplomats, soldiers, citizens, and interests abroad. So taking him off the board sends a clear message that we aren't the paper tiger that we have been in the past in a lot of instances following terrorist attacks. And being that paper tiger really showed the enemy that, hey, terrorism does work in a lot of situations, especially when there is no response or that response is limited to harsh words.
So how much of this do you think had to do with the attack on the U.S. embassy in Baghdad that happened over the last several days? Obviously, Iran has been escalating for months. It's weird to watch members of the media, members of the Democratic Party, suggesting that Trump escalated this thing by killing Soleimani after an overt attack by thousands of people on the U.S. embassy in Baghdad. You've been at that embassy. Maybe you can talk a little bit about what that means.
Sure. So they definitely escalated the war with the U.S. and Iraq by attacking the bases, coalition bases, and then by facilitating the quote-unquote protesters who attacked the U.S. embassy. Of course, fresh in our minds is the 2012 Benghazi diplomatic compound attack and the aftermath of that, both politically, diplomatically, militarily. And then, of course, 1979 in Tehran. With once again, quote unquote, protesters or students, quote unquote, taking over the U.S. embassy there. Those images are seared in to the American psyche, and it was very close to happening again this past week in Iraq. So seeing that not happen and seeing the response of our country this time around, I think that Iraq or that Iran was testing the waters because obviously things had changed as far as our policies in the region, policies in Iraq towards Iran. And this was a testing of the waters to see how far they could push it, and they certainly found that out last night.
So, Jack, let's talk a little bit about what you expect from Iran here. We're speaking with Jack Carr. He's a former Navy SEAL, and he was an executive officer. So let's talk for what you think Iran is going to do here. I am doubtful that Iran is going to launch a direct attack on any hard American asset in the Middle East that would generate the kind of response that we just saw from President Trump. I would be more suspicious that they're going to launch more of their proxy attacks against Saudi assets in Yemen, in Saudi Arabia directly, maybe activate Hezbollah in southern Lebanon to attack Israel as a way of demonstrating to their own population that they still have reach and strength. What would you expect from the Iranian regime now?
Right. I'd expect a retaliation, but I'd expect it could take months. It could take years. The enemy is very patient. They are nothing if not patient. And remember, up until 9/11, Iranian-backed Hezbollah was responsible for more American deaths than any other terrorist organizations. So a lot of these are years in the planning. Some of them are very opportunistic. So we as Americans tend to get complacent. After time goes by, a little bit of time, we think things are safe. We think things have changed a little bit, and our guard goes down. I'd also expect them to attack not a military target. Not a hardened diplomatic type target, but to once again use proxies. They are very good at using proxies and hit us at a time and place that we do not expect it. So I expect them to bide their time and then hit us hard through a proxy that's harder to trace back to them. Even if we know it's them, harder to put the case together so that we can then justify a military response against the Iranian regime.
Which responses should be in America's arsenal if Iran does indeed get aggressive, which undoubtedly they will? Should it be more attacks on high-ranking Iranian officials outside the country who are involved in terrorism? Should it be attacks on Iranian military assets? What is in our arsenal here?
Right. So we have a lot to work with. Our intelligence capabilities are very robust, and they have gotten only better since 9/11. But what we should do, or what we should think about doing, is using our own proxies against Iran, where they don't know where this hit came from. They don't know that it came from. Did it come from a cruise missile in the Gulf? Did it come from a drone? Did it come from a human source that made a hit inside Iran? Who can they attribute it to? Is it U.S.? Is it the British? Is it French? Is it Israeli? Those kind of things that leave them.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering art and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff.
The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m., North State Now.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. President Donald Trump says he ordered the military strike that killed General Soleimani because Iranian forces were plotting attacks against Americans.
Speaking publicly for the first time since an airstrike killed the Iranian commander, President Trump said the U.S. was taking preemptive action.
Soleimani was plotting imminent and sinister attacks on American diplomats and military personnel, but we caught him in the act.
The president said the U.S. took action to stop a war, not to start a war. He also said he's ready and prepared to take whatever action is necessary. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Another airstrike almost exactly 24 hours after the one that killed Soleimani hit two cars carrying Iran-backed militia north of Baghdad, killing five people. The Iran-backed Popular Mobilization Forces confirmed the strike. Appearing with evangelical leaders at a Miami-area mega church this evening, President Trump reiterated his pledge to support Christian values and public policy.
We believe that every citizen has the right to live by the dictates of their conscience and the teaching of their faith. We believe in the right of freedom of speech, freedom of worship, freedom of religion, and we believe in right to life.
Hong Kong authorities fear the spread of a mysterious infectious disease.
Five possible cases have been reported of a viral pneumonia that's also infected at least 44 people in a mainland city west of Shanghai. As a result, Hong Kong has activated its newly created serious response level, the second highest in a three-tier response system in situations of infectious diseases of unknown cause. The response level requires additional thermal imaging systems at Hong Kong's airport and high-speed rail station to check the body temperature of passengers while in transit. George Manzani reporting.
More at townhall.com.
Don't let your home be invaded this season with rats and mice. Keep them away the most humane way with Plug-In Pest-Free, 100% chemical-free. Totally safe for your family and pets, and environmentally friendly. G'day, I'm Scott from Plug-In Pest-Free, the electromagnetic pest control device that has been scientifically tested and consumer-proven since 1995. Now that's fair dinkum. With a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 2-year manufacturer's warranty, what have you got to lose? Stop inviting unwanted rodents and pests in with baits. Say goodbye to traps and start saving money today with Plug-In Pest-Free. Order yours now at gopestfree.com and save 20% with promo code SAVE20. That's gopestfree.com, promo code SAVE20. Are you ready to start saving money? Gopestfree.com, promo code SAVE20. Don't spray and regret. Plug in and forget.
U.S. manufacturing activity fell to the lowest level in more than a decade as the sector was hurt by weakening demand and last year's global economic slowdown.
The Institute for Supply Management and Association of Purchasing Managers says its manufacturing index dropped to 47.2 in December from 48.1 in November. Last month's level was the lowest since June of 2009. The manufacturing sector last year was rocked by slower global growth and the escalation of trade tensions between the United States and China.
Correspondent Jeremy House, any reading below 50 signals contraction, and the index has been below that crucial level since August. Numbers on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 233 points to 28,634. The S&P fell by 23 to 3,234, and the NASDAQ was off 71 points to 9020 on the day. News and analysis at townhall.com. A federal strategy for defending the U.S. government against cyber attacks one step closer to completion, with lawmakers saying they have a draft form that could be finalized as early as March.
The report has been in the works since 2018, after the National Defense Authorization Act created a commission consisting of lawmakers and industry leaders to draw up recommendations. Commission co-chairman Congressman Mike Gallagher, a Wisconsin Republican, says the commission has recently put together a draft version. The 2020 National Defense Authorization Act, signed into law by President Trump last month, extended the initial deadline for the commission to produce the report to April 30th. Democrat commission member Congressman Jim Langevin of Rhode Island says the commission would like to publish a report before the new deadline.
Capitol Hill correspondent Bernie Bennett. Shares of electric car maker Tesla Inc. hit a record closing price after the company reported that its global deliveries rose more than 50% last year. The lower-cost Model 3 accounted for 83% of the company's fourth-quarter sales. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m., North State Now.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. I've got a lot coming up for you this hour. A little bit later on in the hour, we'll be joined by Representative Dan Crenshaw of Texas to talk about the killing of Qasem Soleimani, who's the head of the Iranian Quds Force. Representative Crenshaw, of course, was a Navy SEAL who served in Iraq. We'll also be getting to a New York Times report on why the economy is booming. You won't believe who they credit with this boom. But we begin at this hour with, of course, the big news of the day, the continued fallout from the Trump administration's order to kill Qasem Soleimani, who is the number two in Iran. He was the head of the Quds Force, which was their sort of terror wing, responsible for hundreds of American deaths in Iraq, responsible for hundreds more maimings in Iraq, maybe thousands more maimings in Iraq, responsible for the latest attack on the American embassy in Baghdad, responsible for the Assad regime maintenance in Syria, responsible for the building up of Hezbollah in southern Lebanon and arming with hundreds of thousands of rockets, responsible for the creation and arming of Islamic Jihad in the Gaza Strip, responsible for the ongoing war in Yemen. Soleimani is dead, blown into a million pieces by American forces in Baghdad. He landed at the airport in Baghdad, so he was a terrorist abroad, and the United States had every legal right to kill him. American forces have every legal right and ability to be in Iraq in the first place. They were requested to be there by the Iraqi government. So now Soleimani is in several hundred pieces, which is a good place for him to be, burning in hell where he should be. I mean, the man is responsible for vast amounts of death and destruction. He's an evil terrorist, and he has been for decades at this point. He's also considered the heir apparent to Ali Khamenei, the supreme leader, the Ayatollah. So this has been compared to basically if an operation were launched and killed the vice president of the United States, secretary of defense, head of CIA, and FBI all at once. That was Soleimani's role. And he was a pivotal figure inside Iran, no question. According to the New York Times, he changed the shape of the Syrian civil war and tightens Iran's grip on Iraq. He was behind hundreds of American deaths in Iraq and waves of militia attacks against Israel. For two decades, his every move lit up the communications networks and fed the obsessions of intelligence operatives across the Middle East. On Friday, Major General Qasem Soleimani, a powerful and shadowy 62-year-old spymaster at the head of Iran's security machinery, was killed by an American drone strike near the Baghdad airport. Just as his accomplishments shaped the creation of a Shiite axis of influence across the Middle East with Iran at the center, his death is now likely to prove central to a new chapter of geopolitical tension across the region. Soleimani was at the vanguard of Iran's revolutionary generation. He joined the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps in his early 20s after the 1979 uprising that enshrined the country's Shiite theocracy. He rose quickly during the brutal Iran-Iraq War of the 80s. Since 1998, He was the head of the Revolutionary Guard's influential Quds Force, which was the foreign-facing arm of Iran's security apparatus, melding intelligence work with a military strategy of nurturing proxy forces across the world. In the West, he was seen as a clandestine force behind an Iranian campaign of international terrorism. He and other Iranian officials were designated terrorists by the U.S. and Israel in 2011, accused of a plot to kill the ambassador of Saudi Arabia. In Washington, last year in April, the entire Quds Force was listed as a foreign terrorist group by the Trump administration. He was widely reviled internationally and by the people of Iran. He was widely praised by the administration of Iran. He had threatened President Trump himself just a few weeks ago. He had actually suggested that Trump would be punished for his aggression. This is a few weeks ago. I'll read you the transcript as we play the video. He says, "Let me tell you, Mr. Trump the gambler. Let me tell you. Know that we are near you in places that don't come to your mind. We are near you in places you can't even imagine." Okay, well, it turns out that a missile was very much near Qasem Soleimani. The last thing to pass through his mind yesterday was, in fact, a rocket. So, good riddance to bad rubbish. President Trump tweeted a picture of a flag in the aftermath of the killing. He then had a tweet storm this morning about the killing of the Iranian terror leader, terror master. President Trump tweeted that the killing of the Iranian general was a good first step. He said that Iran has never won a war, but has also never lost a peace, meaning that they should come to the table for negotiation. Mike Pompeo also suggested that the Iranian leadership had been put on notice, that if they continue with their aggressive activity, that President Trump would take action. Here is Secretary of State Mike Pompeo commenting on all of this.
I think the Iranian leadership understands that President Trump will take action. We've made this clear for months. When I was the CIA director, we made very clear that these responses would be swift and decisive. We've now demonstrated that. I hope that the Iranian leadership will see that. They'll see American resolve and that their decision will be to de-escalate, to take actions consistent with what normal nations do. And in the event that they do not, in the event they go the other direction, I know that President Trump and the entire United States government is prepared to respond appropriately.
Mike Pompeo stated this morning, "Well, President Trump made a decision that was necessary. There was an imminent attack. The orchestrator, the primary motivator of the attack, was Qasem Soleimani. This was an attempt to disrupt that plot. You all have been talking this morning about the history of who Qasem Soleimani is. He's got hundreds of American lives with blood on his hands. What was sitting before us was his travels throughout the region and his efforts to make a significant strike against Americans. There would have been many Muslims killed as well, Iraqis, people in other countries as well. It was a strike aimed at both disrupting that plot and deterring further aggression. We hope setting the conditions for de-escalation as well." By the way, the notion that Muslims across the region are upset with the killing of Soleimani is obviously untrue. Iraqi protesters were celebrating the killing. Iraqi protesters were out in the street, and they were cheering it. I mean, they were just marching through the streets cheering it. You can hear the audio of that, obviously. Now, it is a very good thing that Soleimani is dead, obviously. The question becomes, what comes next? And there are worries about retaliation, as there should be. There are concerns about that, which is why the United States has now told Americans to get out of Iraq, has told Americans to get out of Qatar. It's why the Saudis are on notice, the Israelis are on notice, everybody is now on high alert. The Iranians, for their part, are panicked. I mean, they actually have been holding a three-day mourning period for Soleimani. There was video this morning of a spokesperson for the Iran Revolutionary Guard Corps crying on national television in Iran. It's a major blow to the Iranians. Meanwhile, you have the Obama administration giving their advice on all of this, which is just an absurdity. Sorry, I'm not willing to hear advice from the administration that got rid of Muammar Gaddafi without any plan for replacing him, cheered it. Hillary Clinton went on national TV and said, "We came, we saw, he died," and laughed, chortled over his death. Then failed to defend the Benghazi embassy, then pulled out precipitously, then tried to bribe the Iranians to be nice people without any conditions attached to the shipping of hundreds of billions of dollars in cash to the Iranians, which was promptly used for terrorism, as admitted by Secretary of State John Kerry. And now we've got the Obama administration warning that it is precipitous to kill a terror leader after 2 days after the burning of a United States embassy in Baghdad. The difference is that Trump ain't Obama, and everybody knows it. What's really happening here is not that Democrats are supremely worried about what comes next. We are all concerned about what comes next, and we hope that the Trump administration has contingency plans in place. Presumably they do. This isn't about that for Democrats. For Democrats, this is about the fact that the foreign policy of Barack Obama was a complete failure in every aspect, That was true most of all on the Iran nuclear deal, which was a complete failure, and the killing of Soleimani represents the Trump administration's loudest rebuttal to the Obama administration case that if you were just nice to the Iranians, they would somehow moderate. Here, however, is Obama's ambassador for the Iran deal, Wendy Sherman, saying that one-off actions can have horrific consequences. Really, how about like handing billions of dollars to Soleimani?
Qasem Soleimani had deputies. They know how to do what he did, even though he was this unbelievably unique counter-military strategist. But we are at a very, very escalatory moment here, which can lead us into a wider war. I hope we do not go there. I pray with all of my heart that the Trump administration has a plan and a strategy, but all I've seen to date in their Iran policy is one-off actions, and this one-off action can have unbelievably horrific consequences.
Hey, listening to jokes from the Obama administration lecture everybody else about Iranian foreign policy is sickening. It's sickening, and it should be sickening. And more on this in just a moment. First, let's talk about your sleep quality. So, it's possible that your sleep quality just went down a little bit because you're worried about what's going to happen in the world. I get it. But you know what is one thing that can actually help your sleep quality pretty radically? I'm talking about getting the best mattress possible, the Helix Sleep mattress. There's nobody on the planet like you, so why would you buy a generic mattress built for everybody else? Helix Sleep built a sleep quiz. It takes 2 minutes to complete. They use the answers to match your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress. Whether you're a side sleeper or a hot sleeper, whether you like a plush or a firm bed, with Helix, there's no more guessing, no more compromising on an average mattress. You're going to get the best mattress money can buy. Go to helixsleep.com/Shapiro. Take their 2-minute sleep quiz. They will match you to a mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. Helix Sleep was even awarded the number one best overall mattress pick of 2019 by GQ and Wired Magazine. They have a 10-year warranty. You get to try your mattress out for 100 nights risk-free. Shipping is completely free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it. But you will. Right now, Helix is offering up to $125 off all mattress orders, which is a heck of a deal. Get up to $125 off at helixsleep.com/Shapiro. That is helixsleep.com/Shapiro. Go check them out right now. Mattress so good, I got one for my sister for a wedding. It really is amazing stuff. So as I say, do I trust the Democrats and their woebegone concerns about the future here? Not after the foreign policy garbage they pulled. By the way, if you think that Trump wants war in the Middle East, you're out of your mind. Trump does not want war. He does not want any of this. President Trump is just reestablishing a deterrence that the Obama administration overtly failed to establish and actively undercut. In every area of the Middle East, the Obama administration undercut America's deterrent power. Trump is reestablishing that, and that has to be done at some point, because if America does not have deterrent power, we will find ourselves in more conflicts, because people will cross red lines. Red lines can only be established and held to if people know there are consequences for breaching them. Coming up, we'll be joined by Representative Dan Crenshaw from Texas, former Navy SEAL who served in Iraq. We'll be talking about the death of Qasem Soleimani and what exactly comes next. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Are your tax problems keeping you up at night? Hi, Tax Owl here from the Coast One Tax Group. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, take 10 minutes and call Coast One Tax Group. It could save you 93% or more. Coast One Tax Group helps people all across America save big amounts of money. David from California saved $48,000 on back taxes. James and Lisa from Dallas saved $102,000. Call Coast One Tax Group now at 888-337-6949. A 10-minute call could save 93% or more. So who are you going to call? Coast One Tax Group, that's who. See how much you can save. The consultation is always free. What are you who waiting for? Relieve your tax stress today. Call Coast One Tax Group at 888-337-6949. That's 888-337-6949.
Doctors Without Borders teams confront hard facts in conflict and crisis zones. When others look away, we step in to act. Because measles still kills more than 100,000 children every year, we're there to vaccinate more than 1 million. Because some countries have only one or two mental health professionals, we provided over 400,000 mental health consultations last year. The fact is, your support makes our life-saving work possible. Picture the impact we can have together. DoctorsWithoutBorders.org.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom.
It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, a place for mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, it is a big day in the news, obviously. The U.S. military doing what they do best, taking out the world's worst people, killing Qasem Soleimani, the head of the Quds Force, who's the leading terrorist on planet Earth. And by the way, he was a bigger threat to the region than the leaders of ISIS were. I mean, the fact is that Soleimani had helped destabilize not just Iraq, but also Syria, Lebanon, Yemen, had been responsible for the killing and maiming of hundreds of American soldiers in Iraq. Joining us on the line to discuss, Representative Dan Crenshaw of Texas. Representative Crenshaw, good to talk to you.
Ben, good to be with you.
So how should we be responding today to the death of Qasem Soleimani? The Democrats, obviously, are responding with predictable ire and outrage. Honestly, I didn't think that was completely predictable. I'm kind of surprised at the level of ire and outrage that you're seeing from the Democrats over the killing of Soleimani. But I guess that just shows how wedded they were to this garbage Iran nuclear deal that they'd signed on to.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't think it was that predictable. You never really know with them. The Democrats operate in an opportunistic fashion, generally speaking. They're going to do whatever is most politically expedient and the quickest and surest way to make an argument against Trump. And so right now it seems to be they're relying on a couple different arguments. One is that we're not ready for the escalation that will incur because of this strike against Soleimani. The other one is that it's not authorized by Congress. And I think both of those are pretty bad arguments. So let's start with the authorization by Congress. The War Powers Act, I think, is the first document that we go to for authorization on this. And it gives the president very clear authority to act in case of threats against U.S. personnel, U.S. forces, or Americans in general. And I think that was clearly the case here. I mean, what we have is multiple attacks on a U.S. base and then the U.S. embassy, directed by Soleimani, authorized by Soleimani, and then a U.S. airstrike against Soleimani on Iraqi soil, by the way, not Iranian soil. And I think that is an important distinction when we're looking at authorization. And I think that was clearly within the president's war powers authority. On the notion of whether we should escalate, I mean, the fact remains is that we are not the ones who have escalated this. And I don't know where Democrats are getting this false notion of history, this false interpretation of what's been going on. The Iranians have been testing our limits continuously. And it seems the Democrats' main goal is to continue to push back our own red lines until we just have none, right? Until we're just taking punches to the face and not doing anything about it. And I don't think that's how the United States of America should be acting.
So, Representative Crenshaw, there are a lot of Americans who are not really familiar with Soleimani. I saw Michael Moore tweet out today that you've never heard of Soleimani, but now you've heard of him, and by the end of the day, he'll be an enemy. Soleimani was a clever, canny terrorist who was responsible for the rise of terror forces all around the region and for the deaths and maimings of hundreds of American soldiers. What can you tell us about Soleimani and why it's good that the world is bereft of him?
Yeah, so the IRGC is very good at surrogate warfare. Much like our special operations forces engage in what we call unconventional warfare, the IRGC and Quds Force does the exact same thing, and they're quite skilled at it. So they build surrogate forces in Iraq via the Shia militias. They build surrogate forces up like Hezbollah, which is pretty much self-sufficient at this point, in Hamas, the Houthis. They even have surrogate forces in Bahrain, all throughout the region, Afghanistan, of course. And so they use these to really cause havoc around the region, destabilize their neighbors and destabilize the region so that they can continue to spread their revolution, right? But that's the ultimate goal. And again, they're quite good at it. They are clever. They are very smart. And they've been using this strategy to wreak havoc on the region. Well, let's not forget, they also use this strategy to kill over 600 Americans throughout the Iraq war, via their importation of IEDs, specifically Sheikh charged IEDs that were very deadly to U.S. forces. So yeah, this guy's always been an enemy.
So what do you think comes next, Representative Crenshaw? So what I tweeted today was that if you're not nervous or worried or concerned, at least, about what comes next, you're not watching closely enough. At the same time, the argument that Trump is responsible for escalation when the Iranian-backed forces tried to burn the U.S. embassy 2 days ago. And it's as though the world only begins spinning for the Democrats in the media when President Trump commits an act. It's as though the entire history of the Obama administration never existed, where they were trying to bribe the Iranians to be nicer and then lying to the American people about it while granting Soleimani more resources in order to pursue terror. And now it's like, oh, well, I guess the world started escalating with Trump, even though literally they tried to set our embassy on fire 48 hours ago. Now, putting that aside, as we move forward, what would you like to see from the Trump administration in terms of response? Because it's pretty obvious that the Iranians, in order, this is a devastating blow to them. I mean, this was the second most powerful person in Iran in terms of military ops, the most powerful person in Iran, that they are going to have to respond in some way. They're going to have to lash out, whether it's terrorist attacks in the West or whether it is attacks on American allies in Saudi Arabia and Israel or whether it's direct attack on American forces. What would you expect to see and what do you hope the Trump administration is prepared for here?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I tweeted out the same thing. We need to be prepared for what's coming next. And we should expect a lot more of the same. You know, we just got done talking about the expertise associated with surrogate warfare that the Iranians implement. And they're going to continue to do that. I would be very surprised if they escalated beyond that, because whether that means lobbing ballistic missiles or something like that, I think that would result in a pretty catastrophic response against them. I don't think they're going to go that direction. So we should be prepared in more defensive posture right now throughout the region, throughout our bases, throughout the region, and be prepared for those kind of surrogate potential attacks.
Yeah, Representative Crenshaw, I wonder, you know, there's a lot of talk today about World War III breaking out, and it seems to me that a lot of this is exaggerated, that, well, there's a couple of things happening here. President Trump obviously does not want war. I mean, the Trump administration has never been a administration that seeks war, particularly in this region. Trump has an isolationist streak, and beyond that, he's obviously he's been very, I would say, judicious in his use of force in the Middle East. In fact, after the Iranians downed an American drone, we effectively did not respond militarily at all. So the idea that the United States is somehow seeking war here is ridiculous to me. Meanwhile, it would be a huge mistake for the Iranians to move to VAR and provoking the United States, because we just separated Soleimani's head from his body. And the Ayatollahs have to know that the same thing happens to them if this thing really goes hot.
Right, right. And actually, that was the other thought I wanted to point out was, yeah, we should expect retaliation of some sorts. But keep in mind, that was happening anyway. The Iranians were already escalating slowly. First a drone, then an indirect fire attack on a U.S. base, and then a direct attack on a U.S. embassy. There's a clear escalation happening here. Now, and by the way, Khomeini had tweeted out recently that he said, he directed to President Trump, says, you can't do anything. He said that. And it was just maybe yesterday or the day before yesterday. Well, that's obviously not true anymore. And so now their calculation has to change. These are rational actors in the end, right? Their main goal is still maintaining their own regime. So we have to remember that. Now they know there are serious consequences for their actions. Now to the second part of your question, or your next question, which was, sorry, remind me what it was.
I think that you pretty much hit it on the head.
Okay, I know what it was. I want to respond to it. We have to disabuse ourselves of this notion that there's only two choices, which is let ourselves keep getting hit and keep moving the red line back, or all-out warfare, All right. That's just not true. All right. And so anytime you hear a Democrat or even some isolationist Republicans claiming that we can't involve ourselves in another war, well, there's quite a bit of difference between pure peace and full-on warfare. There's a lot in between. And we're playing in that gray area constantly, especially in the modern age. And we just have to be prepared for it and stiffen our spines a little bit. Remember that we are the United States of America, and we do have to defend our interests. And that we need to come together and start trying to attack each other and from a partisan standpoint and do what we need to do to ensure that these threats are deterred.
Well, Representative Dan Crenshaw of Texas, really appreciate your time and your insight on these matters. Keep up the fight in Congress, sir. Good to talk to you.
Hey, great to talk to you, Ben.
As we continue here on the Ben Shapiro Show, we'll get into more analysis of what just happened over in Iraq, what comes next, and why the Democrats are so all-fired mad about it. Are they really concerned about the possibility of more military conflict, or is it just that President Trump just gave the lie to their entire line of argument on Iran for the last decade?
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at KCNR1460.com. KCNR 1460.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m., North State Now.
I think one great benefit to having a Turtle Bay membership, I love that it's one place we can go to and bring our family, and there's something for everybody. There's activities for our one-year-old to do, and there's also exhibits and things for our six-year-old to do, and it's just a good variety of things for all ages.
We're members of Turtle Bay because I think education is really important, and I think kids need to learn that they can learn out of the classroom and learn in real life, and I think Turtle Bay brings that experience to them as they can see things that they see out and about outside of school and learn something.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is the place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Getting into college doesn't happen magically. You have to take the right classes now, like Algebra 2, Biology, and a Foreign Language. Learn more at knowhowtogo.org.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, listen, if you're not nervous about what's going to happen now, then you're not watching. I mean, obviously, whenever there is a hotly fraught international situation, we should all be a little bit nervous. I mean, of course, you hope that the administration has a plan. You know that the Iranians are going to lash out. They're going to do bad things. We all get that. However, the amount of ire coming from the Democrats is beyond mere concern. It is coming from a place of panic. And the panic is not about the possibility of a war being started with Iran. The panic is about the possibility that the Democratic strategy will have been exposed as a sham with regard to Iran for the last decade. That's really what's going on here. Because the crown jewel of the Obama foreign policy was the Iran nuclear deal. They lied to make it happen. They cheated to make it happen. They bribed to make it happen. That Iran nuclear deal was a lie from beginning to end. The Obama administration claimed that there was a moderate faction inside Iran that would be emboldened by the Iran nuclear deal. It was a lie. It was overtly a lie. It was reported as a lie. And then the Obama administration proceeded to hand billions of dollars in cash to the Iranians, help open up the Iranian markets, without any provisos on the use of the money for terrorism or for development of ballistic missile technology. John Kerry acknowledged as much, the Secretary of State, worst Secretary of State in history. He acknowledged as much. So what's really going on here is that the Democrats are being forced to reckon with the fact that Iran has not been deterred in any way. Now, what they're trying to do is pawn it off on Trump. They're trying to say, oh, no, the Iranians were wonderful. We had converted them. They'd become nice. They were our friends now. And then this mean Trump came along, and he said, no, we're not going to do this anymore. And then it all fell apart, and now they're mean again. Yeah, except for the fact that they never stopped being horrible. They never stopped pushing terrorism in Iraq. They never stopped pushing terrorism in Syria, Lebanon, in Yemen, in the Gaza Strip. They never stopped any of that. They never stopped attacks on American allies and assets. That never ceased. It wasn't as though Obama had converted them from the dark side. And then Trump sent them right back to the dark side by getting rid of the Iran nuclear deal. It's nonsense. Okay, this was President Trump saying, acknowledging that Iran was a terror regime and that paying them off was not going to achieve the purposes the United States sought, pulling out of the deal. Iran, hemmed in by economic sanctions, lashing out increasingly, and finally crossing a red line, which was the attack on the American embassy that happened just a couple of days ago. By the way, The Trump administration had been extremely, extremely, I would say, even weak in their use of force with regard to Iran up to this point. They shot down an American drone. We did nothing. They were attacking ships in the Straits of Hormuz. America did nothing. Okay, this was the first overt military action by the Trump administration. So this revisionist history that Trump has been so harsh on Iran, so horrible militarily, he's been searching for a war, seeking war, absolute sheer nonsense. When Democrats suggest that we are on the verge of a war, this would seem to ignore that Iran is a country that has a pretty large stake in the outcome of such a war. And going up against the most powerful military in the history of mankind would not be a good recipe for the Ayatollahs. Nonetheless, you're getting Democrats claiming that it's Trump who has escalated the situation. The most ridiculous response, of course, comes from Hollywood. Rose McGowan, who's the crazy person from Charmed, she tweeted out, quote, "Dear Iran, the USA has disrespected your country, your flag, your people. 52% of us humbly apologize. Really, do you think 52% of Americans are very much against the killing of the world's leading terrorist who is responsible for the deaths of hundreds of Americans? Really? She says, we want peace with your nation. We are being held hostage by a terrorist regime. She's saying this to a literal terrorist regime. We do not know how to escape. Please do not kill us. Hashtag Soleimani. First of all, begging on your knees to a terror regime. By the way, one of my favorite things about that is Rose McGowan's profile pic is her in an extremely low-cut outfit. How do you think that's going to go in Iran? If you would flee to Iran, do you think you would, Rose McGowan? How do you think that would go for you? By the way, you cannot get out? Yeah, you can. There are plane tickets with your name on them. Enjoy. You can get out anytime you want. You're free to say whatever you want. It's a free country. But if you're going to complain you can't get out, that is factually untrue. There are planes flying out every single day. But she is the heart and soul of the Democratic Party. Where's the heart and soul of the Democratic Party at this point? They're so crazy that Elizabeth Warren had to put out two statements today. So her first statement, Elizabeth Warren, who's desperate to win the nomination, her first statement was a not great, but at least somewhat less gross statement than something like a Rose McGowan. She said Soleimani was a murderer responsible for the deaths of thousands, including hundreds of Americans. But this reckless move escalates the situation with Iran and increases the likelihood of more deaths and new Middle East conflict. Our priority must be to avoid another costly war. Okay, it's a dumb statement, but at least she acknowledges who Soleimani was. Then she gets blowback on Twitter. How could you call him a terrorist? So instead, she releases a second statement. The second statement makes no mention of Soleimani whatsoever. Apparently, he never existed. She says, quote, we're on the brink of yet another war in the Middle East, one that would be devastating in terms of lives lost and resources wasted. We're not here by accident. We're here because a reckless president, his allies, and his administration have spent years pushing us here. So it's not Iran pushing regional ambitions and mass terror assaults. It's not they attacked our embassy like 48 hours ago. No, it's none of that. It's Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the bad guy. Only Donald Trump. Warren says Donald Trump ripped up an Iran nuclear deal that was working. In what way was it working? The only way it was working, supposedly, is that Iran was not developing nuclear weapons for 10 years. Right, because the Obama administration said, you can be as terrorist as you want to be, develop ballistic missile technology, and enrich yourselves. And then in 10 years, you can turn those spigots right back on, and within a year, you'll have nukes. Elizabeth Warren says he's repeatedly escalated tensions. Trump has escalated tensions. Not the Iranians who've been attacking Saudi oil facilities, sinking ships, attacking American drones, pursuing attacks on American embassies. Trump. Now he's assassinated a senior foreign military official. This man was a terrorist. To declare him a senior foreign military official is beyond insane. He was a terrorist. In the former tweet, you'll notice that she called him a murderer because he was. Now she's backed that off. Now he's just a senior foreign military official. You know, sort of like the French Secretary of Defense. Yeah, just like normal. Normal. He's a normal foreign military official. Trump has been marching toward war with Iran since his first days in office, says Elizabeth Warren, which, again, is benighted revisionist history, absolute horse crap. If Trump wanted war with Iran, he could have launched it day one. Did he do that? No. Did he forestall action on a multiplicity of instances? Absolutely. Elizabeth Warren says, Trump wants war, but the American people won't stand for it. All three of my brothers served in uniform. I know the sacrifices we ask of them and their families. Trump's actions put every service member and diplomat in the region at risk. This is a moment for vigilance, for Americans to speak up and speak out. No more Middle East wars. Really, I don't remember her speaking up so strongly with regard to Libya. I don't remember that. I mean, it's amazing. By the way, no more Middle East wars is such a puerile statement. How about, yeah, we want to avoid war anywhere in the world. Nobody wants war anywhere. What, is the Middle East, like, better? Is the, like, why would we want no war in the Middle East, but yes, war in Asia? Like, what is she talking about? What this really is, again, is that Trump stood up when the Democrats would not, and now they're pissed about it. Now, we don't know what comes next. I hope that Trump continues to stand up. I think he will. I think this is a ballsy move by the President of the United States. I think he's going to have to continue enforcing that deterrence. But that's because Obama lost the deterrence. That's what happened here. And one of the great moments of the day, actually, came when a general appearing on CNN, General Marks, was talking to Chris Murphy, the senator from Connecticut, and Murphy wouldn't shut up because he's an idiot. And Major General James Spider Marks said, you know, you might want to just shut up.
What I would say to Senator Murphy is, why don't you just be quiet? Look, when has Iran ever demonstrated self-restraint? I mean, that's the question I have. Mm. So is the world more dangerous today? Maybe it's more dangerous, but when has it not been dangerous? When have we not been a target of a regime like exists in Tehran? I mean, it happens as a matter of routine.
This is correct. This is correct. By the way, I'm really enjoying all the lefties today out in force. Well, we have to, how could we activate our military for such purposes? Hey, people join the U.S. military voluntarily, and they don't do so because they wish to receive the world's greatest paycheck. It don't pay that well. You're treating American soldiers and service people as victims of their own judgment is really, it's really patronizing. Yeah, by the way, I will say that Chris Murphy is just the worst. He's just awful. So Chris Murphy was on CNN, and he said, did America just assassinate without any congressional authorization the second most powerful person in Iran, knowingly setting off a potential massive regional war? What were we supposed to do, just keep absorbing hits forever? Maybe paying people to hit us? Was that the goal here? Did Trump just set off a regional war? It's as though Iran doesn't exist as an independent nation. Marco Rubio got it right, the senator from Florida. He said, facing repeated IRGC attacks, the U.S. and president exercised admirable restraint while setting clear red lines, and the consequences for crossing the Iran's Quds force chose the path of escalation. They are now entirely to blame for bringing about the dangerous moment now before us. The defensive actions the U.S. has taken against Iran and its proxies are consistent with clear warnings they have received. They chose to ignore these warnings because they believed the president was constrained from acting by our domestic political divisions. They badly miscalculated. Ben Sasse went after Chris Murphy. He said that his tweet is just simply drunk partisanship. General Soleimani has killed hundreds and hundreds of Americans, was actively plotting more. This commander-in-chief, any commander-in-chief, has an obligation to defend America by killing this bastard. Absolutely correct. But then you get Bernie Sanders out there jabbering in his native language of stupid. He said, when I voted against the war in Iraq in 2002, I feared it would lead to greater destabilization of the region. That fear, unfortunately, turned out to be true. The U.S. has lost approximately 4,500 brave troops, tens of thousands have been wounded, and we've spent trillions. Trump's dangerous escalation brings us closer to another disastrous war in the Middle East that could cost countless lives and trillions more dollars. Okay, well, number one, pretty much everybody was operating under the assumption that the Iraqis were doing exactly what we know the Iranians are doing, namely spreading worldwide terror and developing nuclear weapons. So there's that. As far as Bernie Sanders' foreign policy expertise, I think we'll pass from the guy who honeymooned in the Soviet Union and praised the dictatorship in Venezuela. Maybe we'll pass on that. I am enjoying Ilhan Omar soft-pedaling all of this. She suggests that President Trump just wants war as a distraction. From what exactly? From him winning in the polls? Right now, Trump is doing fine. As far as current events, the U.S. State Department has instructed American citizens to leave Iraq immediately. The New York Times reports an American MQ-4 Reaper drone fired missiles onto the convoy, leaving Baghdad International Airport on Thursday, killing Soleimani. In the early morning hours on Friday, the U.S. Department of State's Bureau of Consular Affairs tweeted, due to heightened tensions in Iraq and the region, we urge U.S. citizens to depart Iraq immediately. Due to Iranian-backed militia attacks at the U.S. Embassy compound, all consular operations are suspended. U.S. citizens should not approach the embassy. And then they left a phone number for people trying to get out. Everybody in the region is bracing for responsive attacks from the Iranians. There's also been reporting that the Iranians are going to try to unleash maybe terror cells in the United States. The Washington Free Beacon reported in April 2018, Iranian-backed militants are operating across the United States, mostly unfettered, raising concerns in Congress and among regional experts that these sleeper cell agents are poised to launch a large-scale attack on the American homeland, according to testimony before lawmakers. Iranian agents tied to the terror group Hezbollah have already been discovered in the United States plotting attacks. The Obama administration had actually been derailing law enforcement campaigns targeting Hezbollah for years. What's really going on here, politically speaking, is not great fear of full-out war. What's really going on here, politically speaking, is Democrats devastated that President Trump actually stood up when Barack Obama did not. That's what's really going on. That's what's driving a lot of the ire. Top U.S. officials, by the way, are saying that the game has now changed. Secretary of Defense Mark Esper, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff Mark Milley, told reporters on Thursday the game has changed. They said further Iranian aggression against the United States will, quote, run into a buzzsaw. That happened during a press gaggle before the MQ-9 Reaper fired drone missiles at the terrorists. So this was just before the attacks. They said their provocative behavior has been out there for months, right? They've been attacking, shooting rockets, indirect fire, any type of things, attacking our bases for months now. In the last two alone, we've nearly a dozen attacks against the U.S. forces, against our coalition partners. So I think they may do something, yes, and they will likely regret it. And we are prepared to exercise self-defense. We're prepared to deter further bad behavior from these groups, all of which are sponsored and directed and resourced by Iran. It seems like the game has indeed changed here. So, prayers for the American military, the greatest fighting force in the history of mankind, and thank you to them for doing the hard work of keeping Americans safe and protecting America's interests around the world. Alrighty, coming up, we'll get to the New York Times trying to credit the American economic boom on Democrats. Seriously, we'll get to that in just one second. First, 2020, it's going to be a crazy year, guys. We are like 3 days into 2020, and already things are getting hot in the Middle East. Impeachment is moving ahead, and we have an election. Well, you're going to want constant updates on the news. Where can you receive this magic? All you have to do is go over to DailyWire.com. Head on over to DailyWire.com and just get informed by getting a membership. Right now, we are giving you 20% off all memberships through Monday, January 6th. That is 20% off all memberships when you use promo code DW20. This is the best deal in town for your news coverage. Members get our articles ad-free, access to all of our live broadcasts and show library, the full 3 hours of The Ben Shapiro Show, select bonus content, access to the mailbag, and more. Plus, our new all-access tier gets you into live online Q&A discussions with me, Andrew Klavan, Matt Walsh, Michael Moles, plus our site's writers and special guests. With all of the election updates, check us out over at DailyWire.com and allow us to answer your questions. You get 20% off when you use promo code DW2020. Head on over to DailyWire.com. That deal is on until Monday, so don't let the time run out on you. That's DW2020 for 20% off all the way until Monday. Makes a great post-New Year's gift for yourself because you have a New Year's resolution to be better informed. DW2020 over at DailyWire.com. Already coming up, the New York Times tries to credit the economic boom on Democrats. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt?
I owe the IRS $37,000.
Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs that may protect you from IRS collection agencies. They have the power to garnish your wages, put liens on your property, and levy your bank account. Civic Tax Relief can help protect you from the IRS.
Civic Tax Relief basically represented me against the IRS, and by the time everything was completed, I didn't owe the IRS anything.
Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
I would recommend anyone who has a tax problem to contact Civic Tax Relief.
Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. Don't wait. Call now. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Our veterans risked it all to protect our freedom. One of the best ways to say thank you is to volunteer to support them. At a time in history where kindness is a virtue, volunteering means a lot. For over 47 years, Help Heal Veterans, a not-for-profit organization, with the support of citizens like you, have delivered therapy kits to veterans who need them. To volunteer or learn more, visit HealVets.org. That's HealVets.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the New York Times has some news. Pay is rising fastest in the United States for, wait for it, low earners. Well, that sort of gives the lie to the idea that the people at the bottom of the totem pole are earning the least from President Trump's economy. But the New York Times has an answer. Why is this happening? Why are people at the low end of the economy making more? Why is pay increasing fastest for them? Because of minimum wage. Okay, that would be a not true statement. Here's the New York Times trying to credit big cities with minimum wage requirements for the rise in the economy. By the way, if it were that easy, why not just raise the minimum wage everywhere to $20 an hour? And oh my gosh, look how fast wages are rising. That's amazing. That's not how any of this works. Here's the New York Times trying to make this case. These days, wages in the United States are doing something extraordinary. They're growing faster at the bottom than at the top. In fact, recent growth for workers with low wages has outpaced that for high wage workers by the widest margin in at least 20 years. Why, look at that. I keep hearing from Joe Biden and company that the people at the bottom end are getting just shafted. The main story here is the long economic recovery now entering its 11th year. Already they're trying to claim that this is really about Barack Obama. For much of the early phase of this recovery, wage growth for the bottom group was weaker than for others, but it began gradually accelerating in 2014 as unemployment continued to fall. This was around the same time the labor market started tapping into people some economists had all but given up on as workforce participants, such as those who'd been citing health reasons or disability for not having a job. Now, by the way, if you do look at the lowest group, what you see is that their income was growing, it was growing, and then it just took off like a rocket starting in the mid of 2017. According to the New York Times, though, this is because of local minimum wage laws, which is, that's just a joke. If you think that L.A. raising its minimum wage law or New York raising its minimum wage law is what contributed to rising wages at the bottom end, for the people who kept the jobs, I'm sure that's true. For everybody else who ended up being laid off, the answer is no. Nonetheless, the New York Times tries to argue that the effective minimum wage will keep rising this year. They say these state and local actions are affecting wage data, especially for workers at the bottom. Note that this approach doesn't settle whether minimum wage increases are a net benefit to Americans, since, among other things, wage data will, by definition, capture only those who stayed employed after an increase. Well, yes, the average wage may well go up, even as the number of employed in that particular part of the economy goes down. Look at that. Magical. If people were laid off because of a minimum wage increase, their loss of wages wouldn't factor into the average. Well, then, what are you even talking about minimum wage? The hell does that have to do with anything? This analysis shows that the growth in average wages has been running about 3.9% per year in the current population survey over the past 2 years, which is a pretty solid average of wage growth. Increases to minimum wages at the state and local level have put 0.4 percentage points of upward pressure on this recent growth. Absent that pressure, wage growth in the current population survey would have been 3.5%. Or alternatively, there would have been wage pressure upward without the minimum wage requirements, because you're seeing more of an increase in the labor participation market. You're seeing more demand for jobs. The unemployment rate is effectively close to zero. Amazing what the media will do in order to try and credit lefty policy for economic growth that has nothing to do with lefty policy. I love this. Finally, they admit that it really doesn't have much to do with it. They say, these continuing increases to state and local minimum wages could skew wage data, making the American labor market look tighter than it actually is. The recent rise in minimum wages, although not producing a giant effect, might still suggest overall wage growth is progressing about a year further along than the reality. The risk of misdiagnosing an overheating economy is one reason it's important to be clear and precise about what role minimum wage increases have played in recent wage growth. They've been important, but they're most likely not the biggest factor. Or alternatively, they're not a very big factor at all, because without the minimum wage requirements, there would be more people working, and that would actually force up the wage generally because there's demand for labor right now. But of course, you can never just credit Trump. You can never just say that it's Republican economic policy. It is always weird, by the way. I don't credit presidents generally with great economies. I tend to credit presidents if there's like a massive economic downturn in the middle of their term. If their policy can be connected with the economic downturn, then they receive blame. Same thing with Congress. With that said, minimum wage requirements in Seattle have not made that city more livable, nor has that happened in L.A. or New York or any other major city in the United States.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. Also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m. North State Now.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. In a brief address to the press at Mar-a-Lago Friday, President Donald Trump said that the killing of General Qasem Soleimani was not undertaken in an effort to begin a conflict with Iran.
We do not seek regime change. However, the Iranian regime's aggression in the region, including the use of proxy fighters to destabilize its neighbors, must end, and it must end now.
The United States says it was sending nearly 3,000 more troops to the Middle East, reflecting concern about potential Iranian retaliation. President Trump says evangelical Christians have no greater champion in the White House.
In his first campaign event of 2020, the president rallied at a mega church in Miami with pastors, Christian leaders, and evangelical supporters.
Who believe in the power of prayer, the majesty of creation, and the love and grace of Jesus Christ.
He touted his pro-life stance, his judicial appointments, and his commitment to religious liberty. And the president predicted that evangelical Christian voters will play an even bigger role in the 2020 election than they did in 2016. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Democrats in Congress, California, and several other states are asking the Supreme Court to fast-track a review of a court ruling that found part of Obamacare unconstitutional.
Democratic attorneys general from California, Washington, D.C., and a number of other states, backed by House Democrats, have petitioned the Supreme Court for an expedited review of the Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruling that struck down the health care law's requirement that people have health insurance. The appeals court sent it back to a lower court judge to decide whether other parts of the law, such as protections for pre-existing conditions, can be separated from the insurance requirement and thus remain in place. Many Republicans in Congress want to avoid another election year battle over the health care law. Tim McGuire, Washington.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Sebastian Gorka here. Maybe you've been hearing about Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that helps a person's body deal with inflammation and pain. You've heard all the wonderful testimonials. Well, I have my own testimonial. For many years, my lower back pain was becoming a serious problem. The short story is, I finally gave it a try, and now I'm out of pain too. So if you're in pain, you can order the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com.
On January 10th,
they convicted an innocent man.
Michael B. Jordan.
Your life is still meaningful, and I'm going to do everything possible to keep them from taking it.
Academy Award winner Jamie Foxx.
You don't know what it is down here. You're guilty from the moment you're born.
And Academy Award winner Brie Larson.
I don't want my son growing up knowing that his mom stopped doing what was right just because she was scared of him.
You ain't quitting it?
No, sir. Just Mercy, rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13. Now playing in select theaters. Everywhere January 10th. Directed by Destin Daniel Cretton.
A man stabbed two people and one fatally inside a restaurant during a violent string of attacks Friday at a shopping plaza in Texas's capital city that began with an assault at a coffee shop and ended with the suspect leaping off of a roof. Austin Police Sergeant David Daniels.
The suspect managed to make his way out of Freebirds and then somehow managed to get on the top of the roof over here of this business and ended up jumping off the roof and sustained injuries.
Daniels praised customers who tried to stop the man at the coffee shop before he fled to Freebirds. Democrat-led states are asking the Supreme Court for a fast-track review of a recent appeals court decision that declared a key part of the Obama-era health law unconstitutional and cast a legal cloud over the rest of the law. If granted, that could put the fate of the Affordable Care Act in the middle of the 2020 election. News and analysis at townhall.com. The 15 modern era player finalists are for the Pro Football Hall of Fame's class of 2020 and have been announced. Here's correspondent Ron DeRockster with more on the story.
The list includes first-year eligible players Troy Polamalu and Reggie Wayne. Leroy Butler, Torrey Holt, Sam Mills, Zach Thomas, and Bryant Young are first-time finalists who previously have been eligible for the Hall. The other player finalists are Steve Atwater, Tony Boselli, Isaac Bruce, and Alan Feneca, along with Steve Hutchinson, Edgerrin James, John Lynch, and Richard Seymour. Ron DeRockster reporting.
Hundreds of Delta Airlines employees have filed a pair of class action lawsuits against Wisconsin-based clothing manufacturer Lands' End. They claim that the uniforms that they are required to wear, created by fashion designer Zach Posen, are causing serious medical problems. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
The word for virgin has been mistranslated. The original word that was used in the Quran was the word for raisin.
72 raisins. Imagine the surprise of the terrorist who expected something completely different.
And now for something completely different. We are at 888-630-9625. That's the Dave Clark Five. Doing Bits and Pieces. Kind of an homage of sorts to Qasem Soleimani, the late general, mass murderer, terrorist, blood-drenched horror show. And the Democrats find themselves once again in the uncomfortable position of having to defend Iran in order to oppose President Trump. It's kind of who they are. It's what they do. Soleiman has been involved in, responsible for, the killings of even Obama administration Jim Sciutto at CNN. He's an Obama administration official, Jim Sciutto, and he's an anchorman at CNN. It's different being a Democrat. Soleiman responsible for the killing of 603 American troops in Iraq, a country where Iran was not at war. They're not Iraq, you see. They're a different country altogether. The head troglodyte in charge of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps and the Quds Force, Al-Quds. You know, Al-Quds means the holy place. It means Jerusalem. It's a reference to their conquering the Holy Land, because to the troglodytes from their blood-drenched hell, the Crusades are still alive and well. They never ended. They just paused, and they plan on continuing them. President Trump made the decision to put the whack on General Soleimani last night. This is a guy whose name I've been aware of for 20 years, and an awful lot of our listeners, I know a lot of you, familiar with Qasem Soleimani for many years. Lead bad guy with the Iranian bad guy force and the bad guy government. They're the world's leading rogue nation. You got North Korea, they're commies, and you got the troglodytes in Tehran. And we can thank Jimmy Carter and Zbigniew Brzezinski for the gift that keeps on giving in Tehran. And then, of course, the circumstances in Iraq. We have no one but Barack Obama to thank, who pulled all of our troops out of Iraq quite recklessly for purely political reasons, and while he was pandering to Tehran and to Soleimani. And then, of course, President Obama, not only did he pull all of our troops recklessly out of Iraq, destabilizing the country where our blood and fortune had been expended to help bring about a democratic revolution in the geographic heart of the Arab world and the Islamic world, Barack Obama decided to pull the plug on that project, which, of course, opened not only the door, but all of the windows and the garage door and the side of the house to Iran to move right in, which naturally and predictably they did. That wasn't enough, so President Obama then gave the Iranians not only a plane load of cash shrink-wrapped on pallets, and it was, to add insult to injury, it was euros and not even U.S. dollars. And then he funneled, well, over $100 billion to the world's number one state sponsor of terror while they were actively engaged in a low-level asymmetric war against the United States of America. We knew that Iran and the Quds Force and the IRGC, as they like to call it, you know, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, these are ruthless, brutal murderers out of Hollywood. They chainsaw people to death. They, you know, they kill the pretty girl on the yacht and feed her to the sharks. These are the bad guys. And the Democrats now, they're quite conflicted because they hate Trump so much that they really are pretty much on Soleimani's side at this point. And they water under the bridge, killed 603 American troops. That's just killed. They were also the actors providing the shaped IEDs, the improvised explosive devices, the advanced generation designed to rip through armor on the U.S. Vehicles in Iraq in order to maim and dismember Americans in Iraq fighting to bring democracy and freedom and to end the socialist Islamist horror that was Saddam Hussein and his wonderful sons, Uday and Qusay, and the whole gang over there. But setting that aside, Barack Obama said this. Remember the 65 million refugees under Obama? That was produced in large part because Barack Obama pulled every last one of our troops out of Iraq when we all knew that all you had to do was keep 5,000 or so troops at a remote base easily secured to work with the Iraqi forces and counterterrorism forces and police forces and so on. But Barack Obama pulled the plug on that, allowing the age of Iran, well, the Iranian influence increased exponentially after the U.S. withdrawal under President Obama. And then they needed money, so he gave them more than $100 billion. They are engaged in, of course, all manner of nefarious deeds. They're engaged in what I think you could fairly call a form of jihad colonialism. They're exporting their brand of radical Islamic horror to Lebanon, to Syria. They're trying to the Gaza. They're trying to destroy Israel. Again, Al-Quds, the holy place, a reference to Jerusalem. And that's their ultimate goal because the Crusades are still on. They're waging war in Yemen. They're waging war against Saudi Arabia. They're waging war against us. They're waging war against Israel.
these are very serious bad actors, and they had a great opportunity thanks to Barack Obama in Iraq, and they seized it, and Barack Obama knew that going in, and so did the New York Times, by the way. They didn't quite frame it up that way, but we can see pretty clearly that the predictable outcome has arrived, and that the Iranian influence inside the government and out on the street, the Arab street in Iraq, has grown. And of course, they have lots of money. Yemen, they're attacking oil facilities in Saudi Arabia. From Iran, they're attacking oil facilities in Saudi Arabia. They're attacking ships in the Strait of Hormuz, the key choke point at the southern end of the Arabian Gulf. Some might call it the Persian Gulf. It's called both. And they're a criminal enterprise. They have been since the day they were born of a crime on, I believe it was November 4th, 1979, that they overran our embassy in Tehran and took hostages. And 444 days later, 52 remaining hostages were eventually released the day that Ronald Reagan was inaugurated, because they knew better than to mess with Ronald Reagan, and they slapped Jimmy Carter around like he was a schoolgirl at a Taliban picnic. So just a little bit of backdrop on that good stuff there. There's a lot more, of course, because just over the course of the last year, you may remember a couple of years ago, it was Suleiman and his gang that he runs with, the IRGC and the Al-Quds Force, that targeted for assassination the then ambassador from Saudi Arabia to the United States, Adel Al-Jubeir, a guy who I once threw into a fountain in Dhahran, Saudi Arabia, but that's beside the point. They were going to blow him up at a restaurant, Cafe Milano, in Georgetown. And the maitre d' there, Franco, very nice man. I'm glad they didn't get blown up, but the plot was stopped before it could be carried out. They're using proxy forces and have been in Iraq and elsewhere to commit all kinds of crimes against humanity, things like that, that Democrats, for the most part, don't really care about very much. You have their forces in Yemen, their forces in Syria, their forces in Lebanon, in the Gaza, all being funded, really, with that Barack Obama. You remember that Obama cash from the Obama stash that we heard so much about? This is that Obama cash from the Obama stash being implemented, being used by the Iranians there. In May, they attacked two Saudi tankers. They also attacked one from Norway and one from the UAE. They're a criminal enterprise. They're pirates. They're terrorists. In Yemen, they had their proxies there attack a Saudi oil pipeline, a major oil pipeline, in May. In May, they also had a rocket attack on the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad. In June, they attacked two more tankers, they and their proxies. In June, they shot down a U.S. drone in international airspace over the Persian Gulf, the Arabian Gulf. Shot it down, very expensive, and, you know, government property. It's an act of war. These are all acts of war, by the way. Each and every one of them is an act of war. In July, they announced that they had exceeded their uranium enrichment limit under that phony, baloney, ridiculous Boltneck. We sent Boltneck in to do a man's job, and we got the Iran nuclear deal, which President Trump wisely pulled out of because it's a load of hooey. They still had the agreement with all of the other signatories, but they went ahead and violated their uranium enrichment limits. Now, let me just pause there for a second, because the Obama administration was so stupid and reckless that they allowed Iran to continue to enrich uranium under their nuclear deal and to spin centrifuges so that they can increase the quality of the uranium to nuclear weapons grade in short order as soon as we look the other way. Also, we're not allowed to inspect on military bases where they have nuclear facilities, which was real good, too. And they're also allowed to continue unabated, not even included in the agreement, with their ballistic missile programs, which, you know, they paint on the, they write on the head, on the nose cones, "Death to America." You know, the usual stuff I've been hearing since I was a teenager from these same bearded loons. And they smell, too. Have you ever been close? They smell. And they have good Western bathing habits. And they write "death to Israel" and "death to the Jews" and "death to the infidels" and "death to everybody." Because they're, you know, they're like Satan's army on earth. And that's okay, but you just go ahead and keep working on your ballistic missiles so that when you have a six-month breakout period for nuclear weapons, you'll already have your ICBMs in place to menace the world. That's the big deal that Barack Obama and Boltneck got for us there. So in June 20th, they shot down the drone. In June, they exceeded their uranium limit later in June. In August and September, they again announced that they were exceeding the uranium enrichment limit. There were 11 rocket attacks on U.S. bases within a couple of months. And in July, they seized a British tanker because they're pirates. In July, they also arrested 17 people they said were spies for the U.S. And in short order, they killed a bunch of them because that's what they do. And in September, they attacked two major Saudi oil fields. You may remember this. It was kind of a one-day story, but major people were killed. The New York Times didn't really care because didn't seem to affect their stock prices or something. Two major, these were missile strikes on two major near Dahran at the Aramco facility, another place where I've been. And they I won't even talk about things that go on there, but good fun things go on there at Aramco in the eastern province. And in December, another Iran missile attack killed a U.S. contractor and wounded several other Americans, which led just last month now, which led to President Trump launching airstrikes, authorizing the launch of airstrikes against Iranian-backed forces in Syria and Iraq. Now, what are Iranian-backed forces all over the region? Well, they're engaging in a form of terrorists. Colonialism. They have these outposts in Lebanon, in Syria, a path to the Mediterranean, in the Gaza to surround and tighten the noose on Israel because they really hate the Jews more than the Democrats in New York do. It's almost impossible to believe, but there it is. They really do. And they're trying to do away with Israel as a state. So after they launched this missile attack that murdered one U.S. contractor just out of the clear blue sky, and wounded a number of other Americans, President Trump said, you know, when is enough enough? We launched some airstrikes. Then Soleimani rallied his lunatics, and they attacked the American embassy. They love attacking embassies. It's sovereign U.S. soil, by the way. So it is, in some fashion, an attack on U.S. soil. It's as close as they could get. It's more convenient for them to attack us there, of course. And after the attacks, and did you see the attacks? One of the spray painted on the U.S. Embassy building, one of the buildings that was burned and everything smashed out, the interior, exterior burned. It looks like one building of Benghazi. The Democrats are hoping that it would be Trump's Benghazi, and they're hoping Americans will get killed because it would be good for the party. Now, that sounds like political rhetoric, but look at what they've said over the course of the last 12 hours and over the course of the last several days during the attacks on the U.S. Embassy. It said, spray painted on the outside of the building, Suleiman is our leader. I keep calling him Suleiman the Magnificent. I know, but he's not Suleiman the Magnificent. Soleimani is our leader. It's spray painted on the outside of the building. And in case that's not good enough, one of the leaders of the mob attacking our embassy was a guy that Barack Obama invited to the White House. You know how the Democrats, they get real upset if you talk about inviting Putin or Kim to the White House? Obama invited one of the lead bearded terrorists attacking our embassy to the White House and took happy pictures with him at the White House. This radical Islamic jihadi, blood-sopped baby-killing jihadi, and invited him to the White House. And there's Obama and this troglodyte. And then here's Obama's pal outside the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad attacking the embassy. And the news media is like, boy, Trump really stepped in it this time. This is World War VII, and we're all going to die because Trump, you know. And the natural response of the Democrats and the media, but I repeat myself, is always fear, cowardice, and betrayal. Always their first instincts. Fear, cowardice, betrayal. They always roll them into one kind of, you know, like contact time capsule. And then there's Senator Chris Murphy. He's a Democrat. This guy, he sums it up well. I've got that coming right up. We're at 888-630-9625.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Hey, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Quicken Loans is celebrating our best quarter ever, and now we're celebrating some of the lowest refinancing rates ever. Rates are historically low. You may be able to reduce your rate and save money on your monthly mortgage payment right now. This is your chance. Pay off some credit card debt or put some money towards that new bathroom or kitchen you've always wanted. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%. APR 4.23%. That's right, 3.99%. APR 4.23%. While we can't predict what will happen in the future, we do know that rates have dropped and now is the time to save money on your mortgage. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn how refinancing now may be the right mortgage solution for you. That's 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rates subject to change. Pay 2% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
This is a commercial announcement. Soon the Senate will decide if President Trump should be removed from office. Now, Newsmax is conducting an urgent poll asking if President Trump should be removed. President Trump needs your vote. Just text on your cell phone the word ROCK to 95577. That's ROCK to 95577, and you can vote in Newsmax's poll. Newsmax polls have been cited by all the major media. So let your voice be heard. Take the Newsmax poll. Text the word ROCK to 95577 and vote now. Text and data rates may apply.
An interesting creature inhabits the flat, arid plains of many an automobile dashboard. The bobblehead. It's most agreeable and will nod along to anything, despite having no brain function. But when the bobblehead hears how Geico not only saves people money, but also gives them access to licensed agents 24/7 online and over the phone, he'll nod even more vigorously because he knows you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Easy, bobblehead, easy. You're going to get whiplash.
Hey, have you heard that ransomware attacks have increased by 500% this year?
Yeah, cybercriminals are targeting all types of businesses, encrypting their data and holding it hostage unless they pay up.
What if we're their next victim?
Don't worry. We have Barracuda to detect, prevent, and recover from ransomware and other advanced threats.
So we're secured?
Absolutely. We'll pay no ransom and keep this business up and running.
That's a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda. Your journey secured.
What's in store right now at your local Staples?
Make plans this weekend to save.
Staples weekend exclusive deals mean big discounts on the things you use every day.
There are $3, $5, and $10 deals on Perk brand products.
Like Perk 1-liter hand sanitizer for $5.
Or an 8-pack of Perk paper towels for just $10. Plus 30% off select Perk products in store.
But hurry, these deals end Sunday.
Staples, where there's a whole lot more in store.
Valid in select stores, ends 1-5-20 while supplies last.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, I believe she's the next leader of the Democrat Party. She may be the current leader of the Democrat Party. She's out there selling conspiracy theories and opposing her country. She's not on our side. Most Democrats aren't, but she's really, really not. Senator Chris Murphy is a dim-witted Democrat from Connecticut, not very bright. A couple of days ago, New Year's Eve, when our embassy was under attack in Baghdad, Senator Chris Murphy tweeted out, "The attack on our embassy in Baghdad is horrifying but predictable. Trump has rendered America impotent in the Middle East. No one fears us. No one listens to us." That was Obama he's talking about here. "America has been reduced to huddling in safe rooms, hoping the bad guys will go away. What a disgrace." That's the opposite of the truth, of course, because he lies constantly. Then last night he took to his Twitter and he said, "Did America just assassinate, without any congressional authorization, the second most powerful person in Iran, knowingly setting off a potential massive regional war?" Well, pulling out of Iraq helped set the stage. Funding Iran with more than $100 billion helped set the stage. "Did you object, Senator Chris Murphy, you hypocritical clown, to Barack Obama assassinating American citizens in drone strikes?" This troglodyte was killed in a drone strike. "Were you up in arms at Barack Obama's disposition matrix and killing Americans without due process?"
This is the Chris Plant Show.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
This is Ted Leidy with the Northern Firearms Instruction Personal Protection Tip of the Day. If you have the ability to park in a garage or carport, do it. Criminals identify dark streets and alleys to target unsuspecting victims who are distracted with loading or unloading packages or children. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's the case, give us a call at NFI at 999-1822, or to find and register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses, visit us online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. Also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m. North State Now.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Anybody know, you remember this, I guess she plays dress up and make believe, right? Rose McGowan. Rose McGowan is an actress by some description, and she's one of the founding members of the Pound Me Too movement, because Harvey Weinstein and she and Harvey Weinstein and Harvey Weinstein and her and everybody else. Rose McGowan is, you know, the media tells her that she's a political force now. And in lefty land, I guess people that play dress up and make believe are as good as anything else. They got that teenage Swede, you know, Greta Thunberg. Today's her birthday? Today's Greta Thunberg's birthday? Is she 12 now? What is she? The child prophet of the Democrat Party? It's her birthday today? Oh, isn't that cute? What, she's 17 now? She is 17, going on 18. So Rose McGowan, back to Rose McGowan here. Happy birthday, Greta Thunberg. You know, 90% of her fun is below the water. It's hard to see how much fun she really is. Rose McGowan has a Twitter account, and she probably shouldn't. She just tweeted this morning. You know, President Trump last night, after it was learned, the news broke that the troglodyte Soleimani had been killed, and the Democrats immediately started taking up their positions at the ramparts, attacking the United States and attacking President Trump. It's what they've been doing for generations now. For those who have Newsheimers, I'm here to help everyone remember. But Rose McGowan tweeted out, "Dear Iran," it's her Dear Iran letter. She's got a pound sign, actually, Dear Pound Sign Iran, because, you know, it's trending. She wants to date Iran or something now. "Dear Iran," she writes, "the USA has disrespected your country, your flag, your people." That's a issue we've disrespected. Because you remember in 1979 when we overran their embassy in Washington and took the hostages and tortured them. And remember all that? Remember when we've been disrespected? And when we went to Buenos Aires in the 1990s and blew up the Jewish community center. You remember that when they, what we, what it was, 85 people murdered. I think we weren't disrespecting Iran. Oh, that was Iran blowing up. They couldn't sleep at night knowing Jews were having a perfectly nice time in Buenos Aires. So they went there to blow them up and murder them because they're a satanic worshiping, they're Satan worshiping criminal enterprise. And they're really, in many ways, I don't know, I don't want to, like, get outside the lines here. In many ways, they're worse than the Democrats. No, it's true. I think it's true. All right, so here comes Rose McGowan. Dear Iran, the USA has disrespected your country, your flag, your people. 52% of us humbly apologize. They're apologists for terrorists. See, she literally apologized, and she's dear Iran. She's sucking up to Iran. This is a typical liberal technique, and I've been watching this, again, from before the time Rose McGowan was born. I think her brain still hasn't been born. But there she is. 52% of us humbly apologize. We want peace with your nation. That's true. We wish you'd stop murdering everybody all over the place, you savages, you troglodytes, you blood-drenched pigs from hell. She says, no, but it gets better. Hang on. It's because Rose McGowan's not done yet. We want peace with your nation. We are being held hostage by a terrorist regime. This is, they would worship Nazis if the opportunity presented itself. We do not know how to escape. There's you live close to LAX, get on a plane, go any damn place you want. Just please get out, leave. We do not know how to escape. Please do not kill us. #Suleiman, and then she posted the Iranian flag. See, just in time, you know, and not too soon, the liberal left in America is staking out their allegiance. They're pledging their allegiance to Iran. That's what the Hollywood left, represented by Rose McGowan, major political force, because, you know, Harvey Weinstein or something like that. Right, just once more, President Trump tweeted out the American flag after it was learned that this terrorist had been killed. And Rose McGowan now tweeting, "Dear Iran, the U.S. has disrespected your country, your flag, your people." 52% of us, I don't know what the fifth, I guess that she thinks that's the vote in 2016 or something like that. 52% of us humbly apologize. She's an apologist for terrorists. We want peace with your nation. That's the one true fact that accidentally slipped in there. They're the most bellicose, the most belligerent, the most, they're the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism, and she's sniveling and groveling to them. We should send her there. I think they'd probably hang her from a crane. Is she a gay woman? I don't know. It's hard to say. Which did Harvey Weinstein? I don't know what that is. I don't know how that goes. We want peace with your nation. We're being held hostage by a terrorist regime. We do not know how to escape. I have a map for you. Please do not kill us. She's groveling, sniveling, cowardly, and a typical liberal left Democrat, and then posts the Iranian flag. This is how they behaved throughout the Cold War with the Soviet Union. It is. This is how they behaved after September 11th. That we deserved it, and the Jews were behind it. You know, and this is the left in the United States on September 11th, blaming the Jews. Remember, all the Jews didn't show up to work and all this stuff, and all the conspiracy theories. That was overwhelmingly, that was the left doing all this stuff. And we deserved it because we had been mean. We went to Afghanistan to help the Muslims fight off the godless communist Soviets at the time. But we became the bad guys, the left said, for helping the Muslims fend off the Soviets. They sided with the Soviets when it was, you know, Ted Kennedy worked with the Soviet Union to undermine President Reagan in his 1984 reelection and so on. So this is pretty typical and what I'd expect from the left when we have a moment like this. Now, you may recall, you have that Eugene Robinson thing, because this is kind of amusing. Eugene Robinson is, he's from the DNC steno pool. He's one of the steno girls. He's a stenographer for the party. And he types up press releases. He's been compensated quite generously over the decades for typing up press releases for the Democratic Party. He's employed by the richest man in the world, the billionaire. I think he's not quite the richest anymore, but he had to give his wife, you know, make her the 25th richest person in the world, a little divorce. And anyway, he works for Jeff Bezos, who is Dr. Evil, at the Washington Post, where democracy died in darkness. Remember that? It died some time ago over there at journalism dies in Trump hatred. And Eugene Robinson, while Barack Obama was president, Barack Obama maintained an assassination list in the Oval Office, which he, in his Orwellian way, called the Disposition Matrix. It's the matrix by which people would be dispensed with or disposed of. The disposition. See, and how would you be dispensed with? Well, we have the disposition matrix. It's the Facebook of death. And he was killing people, Barack Obama was, including American citizens. They were all Muslims, though, so don't worry your little heads about it. Like Anwar al-Awlaki, Anwar al-Awlaki's 16-year-old boy in targeted strikes, just like the one we saw against Suleiman. And speaking really for the entirety of the American news media, Eugene, this coward, fraud, Robinson of the Washington Post, went on Morning Joke. And they're saying, well, you know, Obama's going around killing everybody, man. He's killing that guy and the whole list of people getting killed in the strand. That American citizens, no due process. Senator Chris Murphy wasn't concerned that he didn't go through Congress. And Eugene Robinson went on Morning Joke to praise President Obama for being a killer and maintaining the kill list and killing even Americans, because kill them, you know, because it's cool to kill when Obama's the killer. Here's Eugene, the suck-up Democrat Party doorknob polisher that he is.
He's not an appeaser. Just if you look at the record, he's more of an assassin, actually.
He's an assassin. Our guy's an assassin. He's out there assassinating people. He's an excited assassin. Rose McGowan, I think, should speak at the Democratic National Convention. It's later this year. We can now officially say it's later this year. Right now, let's go to the telephones. We got a lot of stuff. I got Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was on the television this morning, did two interviews, and we have audio for you of Mike Pompeo, who is saying that this killing of Soleimani thwarted an imminent attack against U.S. interests in the region. And CNN, they don't really care. They're like, well, was it going to be at Time Warner Center in New York? And Pompeo said no. And they said, well, then we really don't care because, you know, other people get killed. It's just a news story to us. And then we go to lunch. But if it affects us directly, that, you know, that could be an issue. So please tell us if we're at risk. If we're not, then we don't care. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Robert, calling from La Plata, Maryland. Robert, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Happy New Year, Chris.
Thank you, Robert.
You know, if there's any doubt anymore that the media and the Democrats are truly the enemy of the people, this just pretty much puts a cherry on top of it. I mean, those of us who are older, like you brought up earlier about the hostages, I didn't remember the number, but I remembered it lasted 400 and some days.
Uh-huh, 444.
They let him out the day that Reagan, the instant Reagan, got inaugurated.
That's right, while he was standing on the west front of the Capitol raising his hand.
The one I remember that I never forgot in my life was the Marines. How many Marines were killed in
241. October 1983.
Never saw any response to that. Ever. I never saw it, and it never left my mind. For these people to side with Iran is just absolutely ridiculous. Then I believe there was the Cobart Towers.
Mm-hmm. Dahran, yeah. 18,
I mean, these people, they say that, you know, 19. they're gonna get revenge on us. No, it's about time somebody got revenge on them. Thank God for President Trump. He showed them straight up. I'll get your number two, and you mess around, I'll come get your number one. He cut off the damn head. And it's about time, Chris. I got to tell you, I was so happy to hear it. And you know, they've been fighting a proxy war with us since, I believe, 1979.
That's right.
And doing stuff behind our back. Now they're standing there looking at us nose to nose. So if you want some, come get it. We'll put a boot in your ass.
Well, that's a message certainly that President Trump sent yesterday. And you're right. He went for the head. It's effectively a decapitation of the terror, active terror military arm of the Iranian Revolution, the Islamic Revolution, and they have been perpetrating all kinds of death and mayhem, not just around the region, but around the world for decades now. And we have been playing this game, you're right, a low-level war, and in many instances a proxy war, on again, off again, war, which they're waging against us. But they have a very long-term strategy of centuries because, you know, like Jake and Elwood Blues, they're on a mission from God. You know, they're on a mission from Allah. And Allah says you have to kill the infidel and the Jew especially and wipe out Israel and retake the most distant mosque, which is Jerusalem. And that comes from the, you know, the flight of the prophet and the winged white horse and all of that good stuff, laying claim to Jerusalem. And they're still waging this centuries, millennia-old war that that they see as an ongoing enterprise, right? I mean, they're not normal people who are looking at next season and the kids going to college and trying to scrape together enough money to buy a car or a house or something. They're just hell-bent on murdering Mama Jammas in the name of Allah. And they grow the beards long and wear the turbans and carry the scimitars. And they, you know, they hang gay people from cranes in public squares and throw them off of rooftops. And liberals turn a blind eye to that. And Rose McGowan, I think, speaking for all of the Hollywood left and might as well be all of the American left, with this begging and groveling and sniveling in a fearful, weak, and cowardly way as they betray not only their country but Western civilization and Christendom, which they hold in contempt, but radical Islam they want to lick all over like it's a big ice cream cone at Harvey Weinstein's backyard 4th of July party. They're held hostage. See, the left, they're held hostage by a terrorist regime. That's Trump, you see. That's the terrorist regime. Now, again, they were just attacking our embassy hours ago in Baghdad. And, that's, honestly, I gotta tell you, these guys. All right, let's take one more call. Let's go to William calling from Silver Spring, Maryland. William, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Chris. Happy New Year, buddy.
Thank you, William. Appreciate it. You too.
All right. Well, you're going to love this, Chris. Could you imagine if Obama was in office now and the same exact attack of the general, the media would be touting Obama as the greatest military achievement since Normandy. The headline of the Washington Post would be great military victory. And yet it's just reversed. I don't know when, Chris, the American people are going to wake up and see what's going on.
Honestly, you really have to look at the news media in this, representing the interests only of the Democratic Party. A very, very corrupt media. I just played the audio of Eugene Robinson from the Dr. Evil Post glorifying and praising Obama as an assassin for killing. He killed, you know, look, Anwar al-Awlaki, it needed to be killed, but he's an American citizen, he was.
And, hey, Chris?
Yeah.
Chris, you ought to get Eugene Robinson on the phone now and say, how come you don't say the same nice words about Trump now? You ought to get him and put him on the spot and embarrass him naturally.
Were it not for double standards, William, liberals would have no standards at all, and they demonstrate it every single day. And somehow, some people are still incapable of seeing this like the, you know, the sun in the sky that it is, the hypocrisy, the double standards of the American left and the worldwide left, too. But let's focus on the American left for the moment. Rose McGowan, speaking for the Hollywood left. And really, where's Joy Behar? Where's Barbara Streisand? I expect to hear from them. They will all side with the troglodyte. Did you see? I got to find this. You see these guys? It happened while I was gone. The lawyers at Gitmo, did you see this story? I'm going to pull up this story. When we come back, we're at 888-630-9625.
Just say thank you, please.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
At Quicken Loans, our 17,000 team members know that home is so much more than a house. That's because our clients tell us all the time. Hey, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, and we want to help you save money on your mortgage with some of the lowest refinancing rates ever. Rates are historically low. You may be able to reduce your rate and save money on your monthly mortgage payment right now. Pay off some credit card debt or put some money towards that new bathroom or kitchen you've always wanted. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%. APR 4.23%. That's right, 3.99%. While we can't predict what will happen in the future, we do know that rates have dropped, and now is the time to save money on your mortgage. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn how refinancing now may be the right mortgage solution for you. That's 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rates subject to change. Pay 2% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. And NMLS number 3030.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company helps you customize your home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Unlike things you paid for you didn't need, like the Vacnado 2000. A Wi-Fi-connected vacuum that uploads Dust Bunny data to the cloud for real-time optimization. Whatever that means. But really, it's just a very expensive doggy chew toy. With Liberty Mutual, get customized home insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Hey, have you heard that ransomware attacks have increased by 500% this year?
Yeah, cybercriminals are targeting all types of businesses, encrypting their data and holding it hostage unless they pay up.
What if we're their next victim?
Don't worry. We have Barracuda to detect, prevent, and recover from ransomware and other advanced threats.
So we're secured?
Absolutely. We'll pay no ransom and keep this business up and running.
That's a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda, your journey secured.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m., North State Now.
I'm not going to hold off a minute on that New York Times story about the liberal lawyers defending Gitmo murderers, and they dress up in Saudi garb. The lawyers dress up in... The women dress up in long black abayas and cover their hair so as not to offend the terrorists of September 11th. Good thing they weren't defending the Nazis at Nuremberg, I guess. They'd have to wear their Gestapo uniforms. Let's go to Todd calling from Rockville, Maryland. Todd, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Chris, good morning. Good to talk to you.
First of all,
thank God we got a president with cojones here. Secondly, since the Ayatollah Khomeini, Iran has vowed to breed its brand of Islamic fundamentalism, not only in the Middle East, but across the world and Asia. We've seen that. It's infectious. It's about time we stand up to it. We do need to hear from the Joint Chiefs of Staff on this, okay? Pompeo is from the State Department. This isn't a diplomatic action.
Uh-huh.
It's a military action.
Uh-huh.
But thank God it's about time. Iran needs a sea change. The good people of Iran are good, educated, a good educated culture. They want to see their country heading in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Now is the opportunity to help them do that.
Tell me about your background.
Middle Eastern Affairs Specialist. Did my paper on the Iran-Iraqi War of 1981.
Okay. Your thesis paper, is that a PhD, a master's paper on the Iran-Iraq War?
Yes, it was. I was at American University at the time.
Okay. PhD?
Master's.
Okay, master's thesis. Okay, on the Iran-Iraq War, and you're a specialist in the region. And Soleimani is a very, very bad guy. We know this, right? And it sounds like you're in favor of the kill. What about all of the fear of World War VII breaking out?
Well, let's not forget this. Go back and look at Obama's secret drone assassination war and the kills that did not require any congressional approval.
Yeah, I followed that at the time. The news media seemed to think that was all great, that was all wonderful because it was Obama. Now it looks like the coverage is a lot different than it was under Obama, doesn't it, the news coverage?
Sure does, of course.
Yeah, his Obama's secret drone war, you call it. And it's true. You know, Barack Obama bombed more countries, nobody talks about this, than any president outside of World War II, any president since World War II. And he got the Nobel Peace Prize. Sorry, Todd?
And more assassination kills of ISIS leaders if you go back and you look at the record.
Yeah, that's right. And assassination kills of... I'm all for killing the ISIS guys and stuff. And that's great. But the fear and cowardice and betrayal now on parade with the Democrats, I've got more of it coming up. And this Gitmo story, it's great.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.